Okay. Good morning, and pardon us for the late start. This is the September 6, 2011 San Luis Obispo County Board of Supervisors meeting. Would you please join us for the flag salute?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, thank you. Madam Clerk, if you would be so kind as to read any changes to the agenda, please.
Thank you. On today's agenda, we have an added item under consent, A21, submittal of a resolution authorizing the Director of Planning and Building to accept easements relating to conditional use permit DRC 2008-00009 Topaz Solar Farm, 5th District. Recommend approval and instruct chairperson to sign. Under closed session, we have an added item under pending litigation, conference with legal counsel, number 16, Gallegos et al. Versus County of San Luis Obispo. Number 17, Charter Communication Properties LLC versus County of San Luis Obispo, and this is an appeal. 18, Stark versus County of San Luis Obispo. All requirements of the Brown Act have been satisfied, as this notice was posted 72 hours prior to the meeting. Thank you.
Thank you. I have one request to speak on consent, and that is Mr. Eric Greening on 21 or 20? I'm not
20
sure.
And 21.
Okay.
Good morning. Thank you. I am Eric Greening, and the 20 is a resolution authorizing the planning director to accept easements relating to the conditional use permit on the California Valley Solar Ranch, and then 21 is one that came in, Friday, doing the same thing for Topaz, and very similar language. To quote from page 2 of the staff report on 20, in order to facilitate streamlining of condition compliance for this project, it is recommended that the Director of Planning and Building be given authority just for this project to accept open space easements on behalf of the county. So a few days later, along comes another just for this project, in which the director is being given an authority that apparently the director does not normally have. It sounds to me like you are setting a precedent and giving an expectation. Every applicant is going to have a reason that they're in a hurry. Every applicant is going to want the same just for this project treatment that you are handing out today on the consent calendar. I think you need to have some serious discussion about what exactly are you setting a precedent for, and if it's not a precedent, what findings will you make? Why this is good for these two projects and not good for other applicants who also are going to want prompt streamlining of how things are done. What is the normal process for accepting easements? Why does that normal process exist? Why can it be waived here? Is it necessary in other cases to have a more cumbersome process? This raises all kinds of questions. A couple of other issues while I'm responding to these items. Neither of the maps for either item seems to be a comprehensive look at where the mitigation lands are going to be, and I'm wondering where or how the public has access, preferably before you take action on this, has access to the location of those mitigation lands and the findings that the biological wildlife people have made relative to the suitability of those mitigation lands. I know a lot of that work has been done for Topaz because they had a lot more of their land selected, but with SunPower, there's basically no evidence that's been available to the public. And in both cases, there are a lot of questions that can be asked. So This is a pretty huge item to have just sort of sitting silently on the consent agenda, and so I hope that you will deal with these questions and certainly the questions of precedent. And if you need to postpone this to a hearing item, to have actual responses in writing and to have actual accurate maps of the lands that we're talking about for the actual easements. The sun power, when it looks like it may be a small part of the Topaz, it just seems to show the footprint of the solar project and not the mitigation lands. One other question.
We actually gave you like 6 minutes, Barry.
Oh, you did.
But you, I see that you want to roll it out.
Since they're not getting the fragmented lands that are going to be your subject next week, and I'm glad they're not getting fragmented lands, the question of deed restrictions relative to oil exploration and development even after the lifetime of the project may open up again. And so that's another question. Thank you.
Thank you, Eric. That'll close it to the public on consent, and I'll come to my colleagues for any questions or comments on the consent agenda. Mr. Meacham.
No, sir.
Mr. Gibson.
None, sir.
Mr. Teixeira.
Item A1.
Okay. And Mr. Patterson.
Yes, item A18 for comment and also A20 and 21.
Okay. Before we get to that, I wanted to point out a couple of things, actually. On A20 and 21, we're adding language to both of the resolutions, which read on number two, the Board of Supervisors, and Mr. Greening had alluded to it, the Board of Supervisors hereby grants authority to the Director of Department of Planning and Building, and we're adding this phrase, or designee, after the Department of Planning or Building, or designee to accept, and everything else is the same for that. So that's for both 20 and 21. Could you put on your microphone, Mr. Jensen?
Sorry, Warren Jensen, County Council. That applies to both paragraphs number 2 and number 3 of the resolutions for items A20 and A21.
Thank you. So does the clerk have that? All right. A1, Mr. Teixeira.
Thank you, Chairman Hill. I would like to have this item pulled in for a separate vote because I do have a conflict of interest with that.
Okay. All righty. On A2, I would like to chime in and go to Mr. Grant. This is our new Veteran Services Officer, which we're very happy to have with us today. Mr. Grant?
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman, members of the board. It's my pleasure to introduce Dana Cummings as our new Veteran Services Officer. Dana has been in the U.S. Marine Corps and served two duties of in operations for Desert Shield. Can't speak today. Desert Shield and Desert Storm. He's also been the Veteran of the Year for this year chosen by our Senator Sam Blakesley. So Dana will be on board working with the Veteran Services staff to help vets get the benefits they deserve. And again, it's my pleasure to introduce Dana. And Dana, if you'd like to say a few words, that'd be great.
Thank you, Jim. First, I'd just like to say thank you to the Board of Supervisors. I'm really looking forward to this opportunity to further serve veterans in the community and apply what I've learned through my years of service in the Marine Corps and doing my volunteer work as well. And I think we can really get the office really rolling and get it out there and get it more visible in the public and get people and get more services out to our veterans. Doing a big event this weekend on Friday for we're doing a forum on wellness for veterans in the community. Anyone that wants to come is welcome. It's Friday morning at the Veterans Building over there off of Grand. And just thank you guys so much. I plan to do great work for you. Thank you.
Thank you, Dana. We're proud to have you aboard. And just to reiterate what Dana just promoted, this Friday from 8:30 to 12, there is a Veterans Health and Wellness Forum. That is taking place at our Vets Building there on Grand Avenue, and hopefully those of you who have some interest in this will, in fact, get in touch. It's a free event and will be very helpful, and Dana will be there along with some of our other fine veterans, so thank you. Moving on to, let's see, I know I had this listed somewhere. Mr. Patterson had 18, 20, and 21. So 18?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair. Item A18 is a authorization for our Public Works Department to take the lead on addressing some concerns at an intersection in Santa Margarita, Highway 58 and H Street. It's the crosswalk leading to the elementary school in Santa Margarita, and it is a state highway, and there are concerns and have been concerns by the community relative to the safety of that intersection. Because it's a state highway, Caltrans has jurisdiction. They've agreed to fund a project there that would improve the ADA access at that intersection, and also the county will be installing pedestrian caution beacons to alert drivers coming into Santa Margarita on Highway 58 that there are people in the crosswalk. And I just wanted to take this opportunity to thank Public Works for taking the initiative to address this issue. It has been something that the community has been seeking for quite some time.
Okay. 20 and 21, Mr. Patterson?
Yes. I wanted to follow up with items 20 and 21 in hopes, too, that Ms. Carroll can speak to the issues. It is authorization for our planning and building director to approve conditions in the conditions of approval that would provide easements so both of those projects can move forward expeditiously. As I understand it, it would be a very limited authorization, but it would expedite the issuing of building permits so those projects can receive the required funding and move forward. But Ms. Carroll, if you could speak to that, I would appreciate it.
Thank you, Ellen Carroll, Environmental Coordinator, and Supervisor Patterson. All of those statements that you mentioned are correct. We do have a policy in our conservation and open space element that specifically states that we are to expedite renewable energy projects. So in keeping with that and in trying to continue to get this project completed, we're asking the board today to give the planning director or his designee the option to go ahead and sign the open space agreement. And it would be just for these two projects.
And as I understand it, it's also limited. There will be multiple permits issued over time, and this is just the initial issuance.
Correct.
Yes. And that the any open space areas that are used for mitigation have been approved by the respective resource agencies, so that it does qualify.
That's correct. And we, in our conditions of approval, and we won't sign off until we're sure, and we do have the take permit, but we won't sign off on any of the conditions until we're sure that they're 100% met.
Very good. Thank you.
The other thing I'll say is that if there is any member of the public that would like to come in and look at any of the information that we have regarding the location of the lands or the copy of the incidental take permit, that we have all that information in our files and they can stop by or give us a call.
Very good. Thank you, Ms. Carroll.
Okay. With that, there's
two. I have one question.
Yes.
It's actually, I know time's flying pretty quickly, but on item A15 on the summary of request, that says March 7th, 2066. I think that probably needs to be corrected. But
okay.
Thanks.
All right. With noted amendments and Mr. Teixeira's recusal on A1, do I have a motion?
I'll move approval of the consent agenda as amended.
Second.
Okay. Moved by Supervisor Patterson, seconded by Supervisor Gibson. That is with amendments and the recusal of Supervisor Teixeira on A1, Madam Clerk.
Okay.
All right. Well, roll call, please.
Mr. Patterson?
Yes.
Mr. Gibson?
Yes.
Mr. Meacham?
Yes.
Mr. Teixeira?
Yes.
Mr. Hill?
Yes. Thank you. We are moving on to public comment. I have several requests to speak, beginning with Ben DeFada, followed by Lindy Owen. Please get your requests in now if you're speaking on items not in the agenda. Mr. DeFada, good morning.
Good morning, Chairman Hill. Thank you. Board, Public Sheriff. I am Ben DeFada from the poor people that reside in the Prohibition Zone village that sits on a sand dune in Los Osos. On my watch since 1998, since the days of Noel King, who said, grab your collection of what you're going to get, so stop your bitching. Since his retirement, the good old boys club has been going on with Pablo Ogre at the helm that will force several thousand property owners and renters out of their homes, all with the help of you five supervisors and his crony people he chose for key positions. The people of Los Osos have seen county plans to build a sewer plant in the middle of town, a disposal site high above half the town that would endanger several thousand people and properties. Then another site consisting of 643 acres way out of town with spray fields when 32 acres would be plenty. And then spray away good water into the air, never to be seen again, and it goes on and on. Another study for his gravity system, this one to the tune of $5 million more added to the other $35 million that now total $40 million just for studies. This redesign didn't even include seismic studies that now are badly needed for the town's 42 miles of deep trench big pipes, not even going to look at small pipe shallow trench alternatives that are at least $50 million cheaper. This good old boys club decides who to hire, transfer, or fire with the flip of a finger, and when one or more get in trouble, investigations can take years till all blows over. When the good old boys club wants to get rid of someone fast, he's out of here quick. But when they want to save a buddy, there's delay after delay, such as the case of Morgan Rafferty, who is standing trial for three felony counts, 2 long years now to get to court. The New Times reports it looks like it will come to another delay. Recently, the new scandal is the Kelly Ogren pillow affair, which had big consequences for Los Osos. Mr. Grant, the county administrator, is charged to investigate the narrow charges of pillow talk damages to the county. Forget the damages to the people of Los Osos. Well, let's see. We'll go down the line here. Ms. Kelly, while living with Pablo Ogren, has been given valuable information pertaining to closed sessions, meetings, a very serious crime, I might add. But wait, she has been upgraded to her highest position on the EcoSLO organization, replacing Morgan Rafferty, the previous head of EcoSLO. It will be interesting to see how long you five supervisors will take to fire these people that consisted of the good old boys club. The poor people of Los Osos lose their homes. The people of Los Osos do not deserve this kind of madness from its elected officials. I'll give you the other 5 or 7 seconds.
Thank you, Ben. Ms. Owen, followed by Gwen Taylor.
Good morning. Lindy Owen from the Taxpayer Public Waste Zone in Los Osos. Again, just wanted to ask Mr. Grant how the investigation is going. We're now at, I think, 6 weeks. And like the prior request for an investigation into wrongdoing that basically took months for county council to eventually come up and say he saw nothing there, and it's now going to other courts, there was something there. It's time for you to do an investigation into this affair and the effects it has had on a project that is looking to cost Los Osos over $200 million for 5,000 homes. There was a much better way to get this problem solved, and you let Pava Ogren take over the old Montgomery Watson Harza plan that cost us $35 million and should have been junked at the very beginning of the takeover. And we should have been looking at alternative green technology, which is totally available, would be well under $100 million and would be long-term investment in a sustainable community. Instead, it looks to me like what you've gone ahead and done, David Edge and Gail Wilcox was quite an event for this county to have to live through. And basically, they're connected to the whole sewer issue when you begin to see Gail Wilcox helping work with Sam Blakesley to put AB 2701 in place. So then we have Pavo steps in, and he has wrongdoing from the very beginning of the Los Osos CSD when the project got converted from a sustainable project to a corporate project with his friends Montgomery Watson Harza. The connection between Maria Kelly is serious because she helped put Dan Gilmore, our current general manager, in. So if you don't think that we've been infiltrated with county people working for the county, not the community of Los Osos, then you can just sit there and agree that why do any investigation? but it's pretty darn serious, and it needs to be investigated before we're ever going to straighten out this mess. The sewer will never come to terms, because I'm sure we'll have an earthquake beforehand to show you that this kind of technology won't work in Los Osos and is a total waste of all of our funds. So anyway, we also need a forensic audit on the money. This has been going on for 7 years now, almost 8 years. Pavo has driven this train wreck. We didn't get the clear evaluation of the cheaper, greener technology, and now we've seen millions and millions of dollars wasted. Another $5 million to review and redesign the pipes that we already paid to have done three times. So this is just like a feeding trough that needs to stop soon. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Owen. Ms. Taylor, followed by Jeff Edwards.
Good morning. My name is Gwen Taylor, and I am a resident of Los Osos in the Prohibition Zone. The Regional Water Quality Control Board chairman, as well as the executive officer, on May 4th, told the supervisor, Supervisor Gibson, and a member of the sewer project team that the test wells, or monitoring wells, that determine the nitrate contamination in the Los Osos water basin must continue to be monitored. Monitoring of test wells was enforced time and time again, yet we have not seen that taking place. On September 1st, after an in-depth research report on nitrates in the Salinas and Tulare Basin by a doctor at Lawrence Livermore Laboratory and one from UC Davis, the importance of monitoring was emphasized time and time again. This was the last regional board meeting that took place here in San Luis Obispo. I advise you strongly to look at this report done by these two professionals, because all they continued to emphasize was the necessity of monitoring of test wells, and yet the last test well that was monitored in Los Osos was in October of 06 by the CSD. Up to date, monitoring has not been done and results reported to the executive officer of the water board as directed by the board chair and the executive director. Nitrates, the main motivation used for a wastewater discharge facility, is being addressed by two of the water purveyors at the wellheads by denitrification. Nitrates can be addressed at the wellheads, but saltwater intrusion cannot. This proposed wastewater discharge facility is more a recycling project than a sewer project and will not address the basin's problem of saltwater intrusion. The farming community is not stupid, and they certainly will question the viability of the recycled water for use on their lands. They don't want salt on their lands, and that is what is going to happen if you use the recycled water from the project, because it is not going to take out the salt. Potential of salt water in this recycled water, the farming community will not be willing to accept it on their lands, and the chances are too great for them to continue to use any recycled water. Remember that, please.
Thank you, Ms. Taylor. Mr. Edwards, followed by Julie Tacker.
Thank you, Mr. Hill. Good morning, board members. My name is Jeff Edwards. I'm a 35-year county resident. I understand that on the 20th, that is in 2 weeks, there'll be an update with respect to the Los Osos Wastewater Project. And I wanted to make some remarks this morning so as to ensure that the questions that I'm going to pose are going to be covered in 2 weeks. As you know, the financing is particularly important concerning the project. We have two loans, one with the state. The state, as I mentioned time past, is going to reconsider our loan interest rate on December 6th. So it would be helpful to understand all the parameters associated with that reconsideration, including maybe some spreadsheets on how the lower interest rates and different amortization terms might look. Also with the USDA loan, There is an interest rate statement will be made in October. If it comes down appreciably, we may be able to take advantage of that. Right now, we're at 3.25%. The rate currently is at 3 3/8, but if it comes down to, say, 3%, that might be good to know. Also, what would qualify us for the lowest tier of financing under the USDA? Right now, we're in the intermediate range. What would qualify us for that most favorable rate? Also, with respect to the conditions of approval, the coastal permit, it'd be helpful to have a complete understanding of where the condition compliance is. I'm particularly concerned about the water recycled plan as it relates to urban and ag reuse. So it'd be, again, helpful to understand that. And lastly, the budget. It's been hard to get a hold of the numbers associated with the $22 million U.S. bank loan and where that money has gone and where it's going to go. So those would all be answer or questions that I'd appreciate answers for. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Edwards. Ms. Tacker, followed by Richard Margetson.
Good morning. I am Julie Tacker from Los Osos. I'm passing out a letter to the editor that came from a longtime citizen in Los Osos, and it's just sort of a snapshot into the erosion of your public image and how you need to do some public relations in Los Osos. I apologize for the quality of the copy, and I will send a clean copy to the clerk. The question of nitrates is asked in this article. The question of nitrates was asked by a newly elected Los Osos Community Services District Board member at their last meeting this last Thursday night. The discussion of nitrates was at the Regional Water Quality Control Board this last Thursday. For $200 million, our sewer is not really going to clean up nitrates. Some estimates are for 60 years. So your job is to let the dirty little secret out that Los Osos is suffering from seawater intrusion. The community that comes to this podium is educated, but the community at home is less educated. They just got a letter of intent to be billed on their taxes related to the project, and that's when people start asking questions. You hit them in the pocketbook, and they get interested. So this letter went out. Now the questions begin. I've actually seen this movie before. It's happened in Los Osos when the project has gotten anywhere close to being constructed. People want to know what they're getting for their money. They've not only got a high-priced sewer, they've got a high-priced water bills. They don't have a groundwater management plan in place. These projects are moving forward. The bills are preceding them, and people want to know what that benefit for their dollar is going to be because they're not getting anything new today. Continued erosion of confidence in the county, the Pavo and Maria disaster. Mr. Blakesley is banging the drum on the earthquake fault out at Diablo Canyon. We're the closest community to that plant. We're going to build a very large infrastructure project, and it may be at risk by the same earthquake that may hit that fault. Montgomery Watson Harza is a mess all over the country, and we've been tied to it, to them. And then the bankruptcy and the loss of our solid waste to the county. These are questions that you need to address quickly so that the community can get behind you and actually support you, which I don't think they will.
Thank you, Ms. Tacker. Mr. Margetson, followed by Eric Greening.
Richard Margetson, two things this morning. The Regional Water Quality Control Board. It's a shame it wasn't taped. I think you would have found it very interesting. They were concerned that the county has not made an effort to try to influence the purveyors or get involved themselves in the monitoring of these wells to see where we are. I talked about this the last time I was before you. But what was most interesting is the change in their attitude from 6 years ago for about a four-year span, the way they treated the vocal minority that moved to sewer, and how they treated us, have treated us within the last year, night and day. I think they've realized that some of the things that we fought for have come to fruition. They engaged after public comment Thursday for probably 45 minutes. They're concerned about how the ISJ process is working out, how it's proceeding. They asked counsel and they asked their director how they can get themselves into the process, if they can get themselves into the process, what influence they can have on the process. They're concerned about the seawater intrusion problem. They're concerned about the nitrate testing. They're concerned that their request was pretty much ignored by the county and the purveyors on this testing regimen, because they believe that we need to know where we are before the project starts, after the project's completed, and while the project is running. Night and day. And I think they realized that some of the things that went on with the old CSD board and some of the manipulation and some of the things that caused some of their own staff to lose their jobs or be reassigned. I mean, I don't have to bring up the Lori Okun issue, their attorney who got involved with Gordon Hensley and that group trying to stop the project and re-implement the old project, how she ended up getting transferred out of the district. It was very interesting. And I just keep bringing it up because it would be nice for you to have the same type of attitude towards these concerns. My last comment is this letter went out. There have been no Los Osos updates, and I know you're having one on the 20th, but that's not going to explain to the people of Los Osos what's going on. This letter is one page, gentlemen. I don't know if you've seen it. There's no explanation in here as to how this cost breaks down, what parts it's paying for, what the total cost of the project is, what they're in line for in the future. All it talks about is what's going to be on your assessment in December, what's going to be on in the future. That's it. You're going to have some issues in the future. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Margetson. Mr. Greening, followed by Michael Wynn.
Thank you. I'm Eric Greening. And before I get to my main topic, I want to be sure that the right information goes out on the radio and the television. A couple of weeks ago, I was asking about the regional transit meeting, the regional transit board meeting, and I believe Mr. Gibson's response on the air was that there will be some regional transit items attached to the Council of Governments meeting of September 7th, which is tomorrow. And in subsequent discussions, we realized that the actual meeting date is not tomorrow. There's no reason to come down for that meeting, although there will be a reason to come down if you're concerned with homeless issues, because there will be a demonstration across the street and a chance to engage people on that issue. But my understanding is the next scheduled Council of Governments meeting is October 5th, and that there will be regional transit items attached to that. And in the meantime, the executive committee and two staff people of the regional transit are acting as a sort of an interim manager between the time of Ed King and the time of his replacement being hired. The other topic I wanted to bring up, you probably remember the alarm I sounded on August 8th relative to the some of the oil industry publications getting very, very interested in the Monterey Shale, which comes through our county. Now that has been confirmed by a cover story in the New Times, and so it's surfacing more and more as an issue of public concern, especially as it might relate to the gas extraction method known as fracking, which is extremely controversial in the places where it's being carried on and is proving a threat to water quality in some of those places. And so I'm going to ask for an agenda item, a study session or something. What policies, ordinances, etc., does our county currently have in place to protect our water quality and our land against innovative methods of petroleum and natural gas extraction? What process would someone go through with the county if they wanted to do fracking? And what policies do we have in place to protect our county's water and our county's land and our county's people? And does this need perhaps a referral to the Water Resources Advisory Committee? What is the threat? Are there people on the county staff level keeping abreast of oil industry and Department of Energy publications to actually see this threat coming before it hits the press? Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Greening. Mr. Wynn?
Good morning, Chairman Hill, Supervisors. My name is Mike Wynn, and I come from Napomo. And I'm going to speak about an issue, but I would like to respond quickly, if I might, to Mr. Greening's suggestion. Unless you have another venue that you prefer, I think the RAC would be a very natural place to have such a study session. Everybody there is very concerned about water quality. A lot of smart people there, and I know that you would get some advice back that might be useful to you in making policy. What I do want to talk to you about primarily, though, this morning is about the stipulated settlement on the Napomo Mesa, specifically the Santa Maria groundwater basin and that litigation. You're looking at rumblings, I'll put it that way, in North County, and certainly we all hope that it does not go the way of litigation. But ours did. It's been at tremendous, tremendous public expense. Even now, 12 years later, I still pay $6 a month on my water bill for just to cover the litigation costs, and that's not going to go away anytime soon. Your board did unanimously approve the stipulated settlement that was reached, and as you probably know, the technical groups, each of those three groups, do report to the court annually. I'm bringing this to you today because one of the annual reports is coming up this month, September 15th, 7 o'clock at Napomo High School. The Napomo Mesa Management Area Technical Group will give a presentation to the public on their annual report that was made to the court already. These are all highly technical experts, all highly qualified hydrologists. I think that you or your staff or anybody that you would care to recommend go would get a good information that would be useful to you. Currently, they will tell you that we, for the third year in a row, are still at what is called potentially severe conditions. And the court only has two conditions, potentially severe and then the end of the world, severe. And so we've been there for 3 years, even despite last year's rain. And their recommendation, again, for the third year in a row, is a solid, unanimous recommendation that a supplemental water project be completed to bring water onto the Mesa. So I think I recommend you and anybody in the public to attend again on the 15th. That's a Thursday evening, 7 o'clock, Napomo High School. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Wynn. Appreciate that. And that will close it to public comment. And with that, we will move into our first item. Madam Clerk, could you please introduce it?
Sorry.
It's okay.
Too many papers. B1 is a hearing to consider an ordinance establishing the new supervisorial district boundaries under redistricting pursuant to Elections Code Sections 21500 through 21506, all districts. Item introduced August 23rd, 2011. Recommend approval and instruct chairperson to sign.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Grant.
Good morning again, Mr. Chairman. Jim Grant, County Administrator. We're here today before you to bring you the second public hearing for redistricting. The board is required by the Elections Code to adopt an ordinance by November 1st, 2011 to rebalance the population of the five districts. This is done every 10 years following the completion of the census. The first public hearing was held August 16th, which your board reviewed various redistricting options. At the end of that hearing, your board chose option B and by majority vote, and today we're bringing option B back for you to discuss. Now, if your board decides to make changes to the boundaries today, then the ordinance will have to be reintroduced next week on September 13th and then brought back for a public hearing on September 20th. So if you decide to make changes, that's the timeline on that. The new boundaries would then go into effect October 20th of this year. Just a little bit of history again. We've visited this a number of times, but I think it's important to go through it just to show you what efforts have been done to get us to the place we are today. On February 22nd, staff did come before your board and provided an overview on redistricting. An internal staff committee was formed of the administrative office, the clerk, county council, and planning and building. Then May through early June, we went out to the public, and we had three public workshops that were held to discuss the options, and we collected information back from those who attended, and we shared that with the board. We did do a presentation to the San Luis Obispo City Council as well as the Paso Robles City Council. Based on all of that input, we refined our options and narrowed them to four scenarios that your board took a look at, and then your board then narrowed that down. So on July 19th, we came back with a status and summary of public comments, and again, the four refined options, and your board directed us to bring back options B and C for consideration at the first public hearing. And then on the August 16th, we had that hearing. Your board selected B, but you also looked at an option of B called B1, and an option of C we entitled C1. That was discussed, but your board at the end of that, again, by majority vote, directed us to bring back option B for consideration today. So with that, I'm going to turn it over to Leslie Brown, who will describe what option B is, and then we'll open it up to the board for their discussion. Okay. Thank you.
Ms. Brown?
Good morning. So in the staff report, there's a pretty detailed description of option B. I won't run through that again since we did in the first hearing. But essentially, what this option does is it keeps the entire area of the Templeton Community Services District and the urban reserve line in District 1. The southwestern area of Templeton would be moved into District 2. The border of District 5 would extend north. Let's see if I can get my up on the outskirts of Paso Robles, not quite up to Highway 46, and would stay west of the Shannon Community Advisory Council area. And District 3 would extend east and south along Orchid Road down to Lopez Drive. District 4 would move out of the city of San Luis Obispo entirely, and the southwestern border of District 4 would extend east along the Highway 166 corridor. And there are other changes in San Luis Obispo area that are described in the staff report. You can see some of those in this next detail slide. On the left-hand side, you'll see this dotted line is the Templeton Urban Reserve boundary. That is all within District 1. And on this side, we have the detailed changes of within San Luis Obispo, and then also shows District 3 coming down south to Lopez Drive and remaining on the outskirts of the city of Arroyo Grande. And we included this black and white map. We actually used this map to publish the summary ad in the newspaper, and we thought it was a good, an easy way to see the different communities and the boundaries of the new district lines.
I think it's important to point out here that in the Templeton area here, we did do as much as we could to keep Templeton whole in that we kept the CSD and the urban reserve line whole, and that's the majority of Templeton residents, somewhere over 7,000 people. And then if you look at where we had to when we were rebalancing the population, where District 2 comes over into the Templeton area a little bit, that only encompasses about 370 residents in that area. So it's important to us, and I think to the public, to know that the almost the entire community of Templeton has been left in District 1.
And how many in District 5 in that same scenario here?
Do you know how many the top here in District 5? I think that's in the staff report.
We have that. Hang on just a
minute.
Yeah,
we can find that. District 5 on the eastern border of Templeton.
I think it's safe to say in that area there's about 10,000 people, so we're looking at a couple of thousand people there.
While Jeff is looking that up, there is one thing that I wanted to mention. Doug Ryan from the Department of Public Works is here. Doug is the one who actually wrote up the legal description of Option B and identified a few minor clerical errors that he'd like to read into the record, and then I have a clean version of the ordinance to give to the clerk that incorporates these.
Morning, board members. Doug Ryan, County Surveyor from the Public Works Department, and we have a few technical typographical errors to correct in the exhibit in your ordinance before you this morning, so I'd like to read them into the record, and I do have a printed copy to provide to the clerk. And again, this is referencing the page numbers in your item B1. The ordinance begins on page 6. Page 7, correcting the word southwest on line 7 to southeast. On line 16 of that same page, I'm replacing the word on with along to be consistent with other descriptions within the ordinance. On page 8, line 17, I'm replacing the word prolongation with projection. On that same page, line 18, County Road number 5056 was in error. It should be 5156 Vineyard Drive, just a wrong number assigned to the our county road number. Page 9, line 15, same, replacing 5156 for the 5056. These corrections, some of these boundaries are coincident between districts, so they appear more than once in the ordinance. So that's why they're repeated in some situations here. On page 10, line 19, I'm inserting a missing word, a preposition of, so it reads north line of said lot 1. Page 11, line 28, replacing, correcting a county road number, states 2085, it is now 2084. That was copied from the ordinance of 10 years ago, and we subsequently renumbered the road since then and didn't catch that. And again, that same correcting 2085 to 2084 appears on page 14, line 6. And then, as I stated, replacing southwest for southeast on page 17, line 8. And I just skipped one, I'm sorry. Page 15, line 7, replacing northerly with northeasterly. That's to be consistent. The word northerly appears in one of the other descriptions to be consistent. We're correcting it to northeasterly. Page 18, line 27, again inserting the word of, as I stated earlier, north line of said lot 1. And finally, page 19, line 29, again replacing the word prolongation with projection. And I have a written copy. That's the extent of the corrections necessary to the ordinance before you. And I have a copy for the clerk. Any questions, I'd be happy to address them.
I would only observe, Mr. Chairman, it was impressive enough that you wrote the legal description, but then to have proofread it at that level of detail was truly astounding. And people claim I get down in the details.
I'll have to thank my colleagues in the Public Works Department for helping me out with that. Thank you.
Thanks, Doug. Fram, or who's? Yes.
Okay. We looked at the population that would District 5 would have in the eastern portion of the Templeton School District area. It's a little over 1,000, about 1,025. And the difference of that is that District 1 actually has quite a bit of population in here, too. So the population in the urban reserve line and community services district area is about 7,600 people. And then I think there's about 10,300 total within the school district boundary. So the bulk of the difference goes to District 5 with a small portion going to District 2 in this Option B.
Thank you.
Okay. And so with that, staff recommends that the board hold the public hearing, adopt the ordinance with the changes that have been read into the record, and with that, the new boundaries would become effective on October 6th, or 30 days from now. And that concludes my presentation. We can answer questions.
Okay. All right. Board member questions at this point? We have a lot of public comments, so we will, if not at this point, have board member questions. We'll go to the public. Begin with Marie Roth, followed by Jeff DeBrisch. And if each person could get ready to go after the next one, we'd appreciate that. Thank you. Good morning, Ms. Roth.
Thank you. Good morning. Marie Roth, 30-year resident of the North County. I just wanted to clarify today that it is your intention to vote for the redistricting map option B, splitting the town of Templeton into three districts. This map, as I explained in an earlier email correspondence, clearly goes against all redistricting guidelines with regards to the West Templeton communities of Santa Rita Ranchos and Hidden Valley Ranch. With the encroachment of the District 2 spanning 10 miles of open coastal mountain range into the current District 1 territory. Option B is wrong, it's flawed, and it's incorrect. And some will actually argue that it's illegal. Do not approve option B, but if this is something that you must do and you feel that this is the right decision to make, I will begin my campaigning to replace the District 5 supervisor, and then I'm going to move to Cayucas. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. DeBrisch, followed by Bill Mundy.
Good morning, gentlemen, ladies. My name is Jeff DeBrisch, Templeton resident. A question, what is Templeton? It's a cohesive community whose residents are passionate about keeping the small town, the family feel, and maintaining the core of Templeton, like our schools. As a parent and now a grandparent of children in the school district, I would like to see that every child in Templeton gets the very best education that the schools of this district can offer. I believe that in order for the Templeton schools to maintain their high standards, that they must remain complete in one district. Gentlemen, we have one option at our disposal. It was developed by one of our own residents because he cares so much about Templeton. The option I speak of is option C. It is the only option that can keep our community whole, and at the same time, it gives you the numbers and the lines for your redistricting. Gentlemen, please consider your constituents' feelings in this matter. Don't make it political. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. DeBrisch. Mr. Mundy, followed by J.C. Wood.
Good morning, and thank you for hearing my thoughts here. My name is Bill Mundy, 30-year resident of the North County, and the last 10 or 11 in Templeton. And I believe the North County is very special. We've had one supervisor for the last 30 years, and I believe it should continue that way. And therefore, I'm asking you to reconsider option B and vote yes on option C. The Templeton area is not the coast. It is not the South County. It is the North County. And I think we all know that it's different and very special. And please reconsider your vote and vote for option C. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Mundy. Mr. Wood, followed by Paul Winkler.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, supervisors. My name is Jim Wood. I'm from Templeton. Well, the charade of redistricting as a servant of people is almost over. And the representative government will have lost another round of political self-interest when the Board of Supervisors votes to disenfranchise Templeton. Happily, the Constitution has provided another branch of government to which the people can address their grievances when their representatives abuse them. Your decision today to adopt option B will surely end up tested in the courts and be found wanting as an obviously unnecessary and arbitrary splitting of Templeton's vote to meet the gerrymandering desires of the supervisors. Several years ago, when the Ramada project in Templeton came before the board, I addressed the supervisors at that time to let them know that the demographics in the county had changed, and if they wanted to retain their seats, they needed to respond to the change in the demographics. None of them listened to me, and you're all here. Now, you're not simply facing a change in the demographics in the country, in the county. You're facing an awakening of the electorate. We have more people here than we've had in a long time. You have received uncounted email and letter messages from the people of Templeton objecting to the disenfranchisement that you're planning for us. Fortunately, the ultimate test of the people's will be the election, and we have one coming up shortly. So, as Marie said, one of you is exceedingly vulnerable and will be replaced, and we'll work our way down because we have friends in Napomo, we have friends in Los Osos, and the North County is awakening as well. Please do not disenfranchise Templeton. Thank you.
Mr. Winkler, followed by Wayne Greder.
Good morning. My name is Paul Winkler. I am a Templeton resident, and I'm here just to voice my concern about the redistricting, and I would like to push for option C. Templeton is a small community, and I don't see the benefit to the county or, more importantly, to the residents of Templeton by dividing our town into three districts. I believe, if I got the numbers right, District 2 gets 350 and District 5 gets 1,025. I believe that option C provides the balance that you need as far as populations, and it does give Templeton the opportunity to have a single voice, and I don't really see how dividing us into three districts benefits the residents of Templeton. More importantly, it dilutes our voice, and I think that it's important that we maintain our town in one district. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Mr. Greder, followed by Gwen Pelfrey.
Good morning. I'm Wayne Greder. I've been a North County resident for about 30 years, and I really enjoy the surroundings of Templeton and its neighbors. And the people that I've talked to lately don't even really understand what's going on with this district redistricting. But a lot of them say they don't want it divided up. They don't want to be told when they can water their lawns. They don't want to be under new regulations. They like their own freedom. And like it was just brought up, there's an election coming up pretty soon, and people are going to hear about this. Thank you.
Thank you. Ms. Pelfrey, followed by L.J. Hansen.
Good morning. Gwen Pelfrey, a 24-year Templeton resident. Chairman Hill, supervisors, according to the redistricting requirements published by county staff, the final redistricting plan is to reflect public interest and concerns, complying with legal mandates as well as meeting a November 1st deadline. I contend that option B does not reflect public interest and concerns of Templeton or comply with legal mandates. Templeton citizens have consistently stated that they consider the community to be the Templeton Unified School District boundaries, and they want to be kept whole, meaning in one district. Yet this board has chosen to split Templeton into three districts. The board has used the position that they are concerned with balancing the population and one man, one vote. When interpreting the constitutional provision, the United States Supreme Court has tended to treat interchangeably two quite distinct concepts. The first one, that each district should contain an equal number of people. That is a population standard. And the second, that each voter be entitled to have his ballot carry an equal impact, a voter standard. My contention is that splitting Templeton into three or even two districts, you have violated the voter standard of one man, one vote. There's California case law that supports county districting justification for a departure from equal population due to county governments performing a number of important functions for unincorporated areas. Counties such as Inyo, Monterey, and Santa Clara counties have done so while this board is choosing to split Templeton into three districts. When establishing the supervisory districts in Indio and Santa Clara counties, they were within 17 to 23% of the overall population, taking into consideration unincorporated areas and secondary considerations. I ask that you not adopt this ordinance before you, but reconsider option three. You have time to do so because you have reset your hearing schedules, moving them forward. So I do ask that you reconsider the ordinance before you today and vote no against what you've proposed.
Thank you, Ms. Pelfrey. Ms. Hansen, followed by Mr. Hansen.
Good morning, supervisors. My name is L.J. Hansen. I am from rural Arroyo Grande in South County, and I'm here today to support the citizens of Templeton. I think it is very important that you listen to the community, what they want. They want number C. Please go along with them because they are what make up our wonderful county. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Mr. Hansen, followed by Alicia Fouquet.
Good morning. My name is Hans Hansen. I am from South County, and I support the advisory council for Templeton, and I think it's a mistake to split it up, and I also support number C. Thank you.
Thank you. Ms. Fouquet, am I saying? Fouquet? Okay, thank you. Followed by Mr. Pelfrey.
Hi, Alicia Fouquet, 12-year Templeton resident and the president of the PTO for parent-teacher organization for Vineyard Elementary School. I've just recently been informed of the situation of redistricting and educated as much as I can to this point, and I feel very saddened by what I've heard. That this would tear apart Templeton. As part of the school district, we work diligently to bring all of our schools together through community and to have the possibility that our community be torn apart, where we try to keep our districts so close together, would be an absolute shame. I have two small children, and we moved to Templeton exactly for the reasons that I'm here today, to keep it together, to keep it wonderful, to keep our community together and wonderful, and to keep them as whole. And it would be a shame. I have friends in the audience today who would be moved out of our Templeton region because of this redistricting. And it just saddens me. So please reconsider what you're thinking. Thank you.
Thank you, Mrs. Fouquet. Mr. Pelfrey, followed by Marjorie Kurtzinger.
Good morning. My name is Bill Pelfrey, and while I am on tag, I am here as a member of Templeton, a Templetonian. Under the election code, the district should be as equal in population as possible, with secondary considerations given to topography, geography, cohesiveness, contiguity, integrity, and compactness of territory, and community of interest of the district. Equality of population should be the first consideration in redistricting. With that in mind, however, I'm turning to the secondary factors. Templeton is a community of interest that should be kept together. A community of interest is defined by the California Constitution as a contiguous population which shares common social economic interests that should be included within a single district of purpose for its effectiveness and fair representation. That's California Constitution Article 11, Section 2, Subdivision D4. Temple residents most certainly share social and economic interests. I don't care if you're to the mountains to the west just before you get to Mr. Gibson's district, or to the east just before you get down to, I believe it's almost to Cyril's district. They call themselves Templetonians. That is their community, the school district in the TAG area. Accordingly, Templeton should not be split unless it is absolutely necessary to achieve population equality within an accepted deviation range. Clearly, however, it is not necessary to split Templeton in order to achieve population equality. As evidenced by the other option presented by staff and the community that achieves acceptable numbers without splitting Templeton, or by splitting it into two districts instead of three. In fact, C achieves better population equality than option B, 2.75 variability to 2.9, and without splitting Templeton into three districts. Clearly, the highest priority under the election code, population equality should be better served by option C, and option C proves that better population equality is possible. There is no justification for choosing option B over option C. The board should also consider the redistricting from the point of view of District 2. Moving District 2 that far inland is not considered of the secondary factors such as topography, geography, compactness of territory, or community of interest, and is, again, unnecessary. Just because Supervisor Gibson does not object to the expansion of his district in that manner does not mean that it is prudent or acceptable under the election code factors. It is well settled that county can draw the lines in order to disfavor incumbents or party. However, there is no explanation for what is being offered in option C, and I would ask a response from each one of you as to why option B is better than C, because I don't think you've given it due consideration. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Pelfrey. Marjorie Kurtzinger, followed by Tamara Stavronidakis, and I'm sorry if I've just murdered your name, but you'll correct me. Morning.
Good morning. I'm a very recent resident of Templeton. I moved from a very large urban area to Templeton intentionally for the character of Templeton. I don't pretend to be political. I'm not very well informed. I'm getting more informed very rapidly. And I feel, as a voter and a taxpayer, that Templeton should remain intact. It's very unique, as I think you all know. And it would just, you know, I just concur with everything that everyone said. Please leave it alone.
Okay. Thank you. Tamara, followed by Karen Welcher. And if you tell me how to pronounce your last name.
Hi, I'm Tamara Stavrianodakis. I'm a Templeton homeowner, business owner, Chamber of Commerce member, and Templeton Women in Business member. We want option C. What are you guys thinking? People in Templeton don't want to be broken up. We want to stay whole. Option C is the only way to go. Please, you're not making any friends in Templeton unless you do what the Templetonians want. And like most issues that come through your chambers, most residents aren't informed about what's going on and how they can make a change. But more than 30 people are here today to say we don't want to be broken up. And I intend to educate my friends via emails and other social media and town hall meetings and let them know that if you don't speak up, then don't bitch about what happens. So please keep us whole. Thank you.
Thank you. Ms. Welcher, followed by Greg O'Sullivan, please.
Hi, thank you for giving me the opportunity to voice my opinions. I am a 24-year resident of Templeton. My family has been Templetonian since the late 1800s, and one of the main reasons I moved back after my grandfather's business moved us out of Templeton was because of the small town community. Everyone knows everyone, we're family, everyone wants to stay together. If the option C1 passes, which is what everybody up here I understand is pushing for, B1, thank you, I would be out of the same family group that I've been in for the last 24 years and that my family has been in since the late 1800s. I would be with members who don't know me, who don't know my children. I have four children in the school district. They don't know me. I don't know them. It's a family, a community that wants to stay together. It's very important that our voice be heard, as tell the number of turnout for today's meeting. Please, option B is not what you want. Option C, don't.
I think,
don't,
yeah.
I know that's what I'm saying. B is not what you want. Please vote for C. We want to stay together. It's important that that jewel of the North County, it's so unique, it's so cohesive. Please listen to your constituents and keep us together. Don't separate us. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. O'Sullivan, followed by Nancy Shaw.
Good morning. Hopefully you've had an opportunity to read the emails I sent to each one of you. I have had the opportunity to work with all of you, in fact, on one board and a couple of you on other issues, and have found you truthfully be respectful, thoughtful, and methodical. But to quote the lady, young lady with a funny last name, I do wonder what you're thinking. There are two types of government, elected type of philosophies. One's called Jeffersonian, the other one's called Jacksonian. One is, in the way that I interpret it, is that we elect our officials to go out and just make decisions on our behalf. Just go do it. We trust you. We like what you think. Go do it. The other thought is you are there to represent us. And I think overwhelmingly, us today is Templeton. And that is really what is before you. Typically, these chambers are pretty empty. And I can understand it is that time that you need to represent make decisions based on what you think the group says. Today and over the last couple months, that has not been the case. Over and over, the community has said, we want to stay whole. It is not good enough for those other 1,500-plus people to be outside the services district if you say, well, you're kind of being represented by somebody else. We want to be whole. How many times has that been said today? You have overwhelmingly and passionate support to, if you don't want to use option C, come up with your own option, but one option that keeps it whole. In your own staff report dated February 22nd, it said districts should be constructed so they do not carve up neighborhoods or separate groups of people living in an area that have similar interests. Political subdivisions such as cities, community service district, et cetera, should also be served whenever possible. I would ask you to join the TAG, the school district, the Templeton Community Services District in overwhelming support of this community and consider voting for an option to keep Templeton whole. We do not want this to end up in courts. That is not going to be in the public best interest. We don't have the money to do that. At the very least, if you are going to stand for whatever reason behind the option B before you, I would ask you to explain it to us. That's what we need. We want to know why you do not want to keep Templeton whole when the law clearly allows the opportunity to do so. Thank you.
Thank you. Miss, perhaps if we could hold the applause to the end. Ms. Shaw, followed by Rob Rosales.
Hi, I'm Nancy Shaw. I'm a mom. I have children in Templeton schools. I'm a registered nurse, and that's why I'm able to be here. And I'd like to speak for the zillion people that I've spoken to in Templeton who are working, who cannot be here, because I can tell you that just like me, I just found out about this about a week and a half ago at the dog park. People are shocked. They're upset. They don't want Templeton split up. I mean, this is a community, a close-knit community, and it deserves to be kept together. We are questioning why this is happening. We are wondering, is this for political gain? Is this to weaken the Templeton voice, to weaken the tag, which has some strength? This is ignoring the fact that Templeton is a close-knit community, and according to the rules, or possibly law, it may not be split up. This is only a few percentage points off this the excuse of balancing. It's only a few percentage points off, so we don't buy that. Anyway, I'm vehemently opposed to this, and we should just leave it alone, keep it C, and I hope you'll reconsider, because I can tell you if it's not, there'll probably be people protesting out here, and we will organize it. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Rosales, followed by C.Z. Whitney. Morning.
Good morning. I'm here on behalf of the Templeton Chamber of Commerce. The Templeton Chamber continues to support the position that the area encompassed by the boundaries of TAG are considered the community of Templeton. This area includes not only the town of Templeton, but the surrounding rural area of our school district. All the residents of this area are eligible to vote for and allowed to serve on the boards of the school district and TAG. They are an integral part of the community that share social and economic ties, use Templeton parks for recreation, attend places of worship and cultural events in town. Their children attend Templeton schools, which are located in town. Many of the residents work or have businesses located in town, businesses that contribute significantly to our school and community civic organizations with funds and volunteer participation. These ties are the part of the reason the residents in this area consider themselves the members of the Templeton community. These ties are what make the area a single community of interest. The three supervisor majority justified non-support of any alternative to the three-district option, saying that the mixed support of each option made it unclear which one was favored by the community and that Templeton residents did not speak in a uniform voice. To the first point, in a democratic society, you're going to have differences of opinion. You folks are faced with those challenges in about every decision you make. As a republic, we elect the representatives to represent us in an effective and fair manner, and that is what we are asking all five of you, our representatives, to do today. What is clear and has been maintained throughout the process by residents and representatives of Templeton is that Templeton residents and community representatives consider the area encompassed by the boundaries of TAG as our community. There is no or very minimal public support for the three-district option by Templeton residents nor the public in general. The three-district option makes avoidable changes to the detriment of the integrity of the community of Templeton, and the three-district option unnecessarily divides a population that a reasonable person would conclude results in a significant negative impact on the population's effective and fair representation. Option B is not the best proposal, and a reasonable person would conclude that Option B does not fulfill the intent of the law for redistricting process. Phrases such as when avoidable, unnecessarily, and to the extent possible are part of the definitions and descriptions of the criteria that are to be used when determining district lines. We ask that you do so. We ask also that we would suggest that there are alternatives that offer minimum modifications that balance the populations and better protect the effective representation of all constituents. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Mr. Whitney, followed by Dino Petrino.
Morning, Mr. Chairman, Supervisors. Charlie Whitney from Santa Margarita. I guess those of you who think you know everything are getting kind of a civics lesson this morning. I think that's interesting. One thing I'd like to bring up here, C meets all of the election code requirements, all of the factors that are in the election code. B does not. It misses the mark considerably. There is no real explanation for choosing B over C, except that gerrymandering the district in an obvious attempt to protect current political trends seems to really be the case here. I would request that each of you please explain how the option you support meets the election code requirements rather than a political agenda. And when you're done voting today, what you need to think about is whether or not you want to be known for protecting the democratic process that is used to elect our officials in a constitutional republic, or if you want to be known more along the lines of a South American troika who imposed their will on the people. Thank you very much.
Mr. Petrino, followed by Lisa Bedrogi.
Good morning. My name is Dino Petrino, resident of Templeton. And I want to apologize ahead of time for applying logic to what I'm about to say. It is apparently obvious, and I know I'm being redundant by saying that, that there is you have no other choice than option C, whereby option C would be a win-win. Option B would obviously be a win-lose. The Templeton community and any community elects you to represent them. And here we have Templeton, not entire Templeton, but a pretty good representation of Templeton, who are coming here because they have the time to do that, or they make the time to do that, to come before you and tell you what they want. Isn't that why you're there? Isn't that why you got elected? Because you represent us. We don't want option B. We want option C, and you've heard why. So apparently there is no other choice than option C, because if you choose option B, I think you're going to feel the wrath of Templeton and the rest of the county. Thank you for this opportunity to speak.
Thank you. Ms. Bedrogi, followed by Denise Benda.
Good morning, Mr. Chair, members of the board. My name is Lisa Bedrogi. I'm the Government Affairs Coordinator for the Paso Robles Wine Country Alliance. And first, I'd like to thank the county for participating in our California Wine Month kickoff tour a couple of weeks ago. It was a great day, and we really had a lot of participation on the county level. I think one of the things that was emphasized that day is that the wine community are leaders in the community, whether it be through our civic contributions, our government partnerships, or working with our peer agriculturalists. I'd like to say today that we support the residents of the Templeton area to keep their community whole. We do believe it is a cohesive community that should be kept whole. I would like to point to your attention, however, that there is another option, the option B1, which was presented by Supervisor Meacham at your August 16th hearing. I think that should be reopened for consideration. I don't think it was given enough consideration at the time. And as you've heard from the residents of Templeton, they are seeking another alternative to option B today. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Bedrogi. Ms. Benda, please.
Good morning.
Good morning.
My name's Denise Benda, and I have lived in Templeton for 12 years and born and raised in San Luis Obispo County. We chose to raise our family in Templeton specifically because of its strong sense of community. But by splitting Templeton into pieces, you will weaken that. When discussing with my husband and kids this morning where I was going today, my husband kind of laughed and has become quite pessimistic of government and thinks you have stopped listening to the people that have put you in those seats. On the other hand, I do have a hope for my kids. I want it to be a different government with what they see. And so that I hope that that's why I'm standing here today is because I hope that you will keep Templeton one district with one supervisor to be accountable to us, the Templeton citizens. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Benda. And that will close it to public comment. We're going to take a 15-minute break, and we'll come back, and we thank you for being here. Okay. Okay, we're back. And we have closed it to public comment. We're bringing it back here to board for questions and discussion. Please. Who's leading off? Mr. Patterson.
Well, nice to meet you, meet them one.
Go ahead. I'll be happy to take off on this. If the county administrator, if you could kind of give us a little bit of reasoning, because obviously we've heard from the folks about option C, why this won't work. Because if I went back and talked to folks about the idea that I had as far as B1 or option C to limit the representation in Templeton to either one, and hopefully get to that point. So I'd like a little bit of clarification as to why we couldn't go that route.
Okay. Mr. Grant?
Very good. Jim Grant, County Administrator. I want to make a couple of I think, corrections on maybe perception of what B is all about. There was some reference that the school would be split, school district. That is incorrect. School district lines do not change. They remain the same. It doesn't have any effect on the school district at all. There was reference that maybe that the the rules suggested we didn't split a number of areas. And, again, we didn't. We were working with the numbers that we had available. We were trying to do the one person, one vote, trying to balance those populations. And when we came up with this one, we were very cognizant of the fact that the Templeton area didn't want to be split. And based on the numbers, we proposed this B that kept the CSD whole and the urban reserve line whole. And, again, the majority of folks live in that area. So we did try to do what the residents asked for, but we were looking at the numbers and trying to do the balancing act, basically, in that. So that's the reason. The B1 you were looking at? B1, and let me just, for the public's interest, B1, basically, and if we could bring up on the screen here, we'll take a look at it. B1? There we go. Option B1 makes one change, and B1 in the Templeton area removes District 2 in that little area there that I call a fox head sometimes. It's right in there, moves it back into the boundaries that B2 currently has, and moves District 5 up in that area. So then Templeton would only be split in that area, the tag area, in two places, not three. You'd have two supervisor districts. There's another option as well, and that is B2 that I think the board had taken a look at. And this option was one that moves down or moves back District 2 and then moves down District 1 back to where it was before. So it takes that area right there. And so you can see that Templeton is still split, but only in two. Now, the reason the board didn't go for this and we didn't recommend it at the time was because the difference in population gets a little bit larger in this one. In District 1, it's over the average by about 1,217, which is about a 2.3% deviation. And District 2 then loses the 370. And now their District 2 is light by over 1,000, and the deviation is about 1.99%. And so that was the reason originally that we thought we were trying to stay close to the numbers as possible, and that the original B was one that did that. It doesn't mean that the board can't discuss these, and if the board thinks that this is a way to go, I believe those numbers are probably we could certainly live within those numbers. It's board discretion at this point.
If I could follow up, sure. Can we put up C?
Yes.
As well, and see why there's see the boundaries there and the reasoning behind that not working.
Okay, hang on just for a moment. We have to changing computers.
We'll get that accomplished.
Here we go. C1 was discussed by your board?
This is C.
This is C.
This is C. Excuse C1. Me. This is
and
C.
It was rejected by PASO.
Rejected by PASO Robles. As you can see, it moves up right on the fringe of PASO Robles right there. It also, I believe, does this one, and correct me if I'm wrong, does this split the Chandon?
C1 no. does.
C1 does. C1 okay. Does. But this is very close to PASO Robles, and they were... They at the time that we went to PASO Robles, they didn't like this one. They suggested that B was a preferred option. And then there was one other one. If we can go to C1, just so get them all out here to take a look at.
Okay.
We've been through a lot of options, folks. So bear with us for just a moment. Here it is. C1 was modified. C1 then. As you can see, District 1 takes over that area where District 2 was coming in. It does pull back from the PASO city limits right there, but it does reach out further to the east, and now you're splitting Chandon Community Services District. So now we get into another split of a Community Services District, which the board didn't feel was correct. Also, it goes down into San Luis Obispo and changes some streets there and move some things around in San Luis Obispo itself, and the board didn't want to go with that particular plan. So those are the plans that were recently looked at.
Okay, well, let my colleagues weigh in, and I've got a few comments.
Okay. Mr. Patterson?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair. I want to quickly comment again, and I do appreciate the feedback we've been getting from the Templeton residents over the past month or so. We've received quite a few emails in the last week, let's say, and one of the things that's a little disconcerting to me is that, and it's difficult to communicate all of the facts and information. People were really, I don't want to say misinformed, but misunderstood the impact of what we're talking about doing. As you've heard all along, the recommendations that were made kept the Templeton Community Services District and the Urban Reserve Line whole as the core of Templeton. The comments we heard from the Templeton community is that you consider yourselves to be identified by the school district boundaries, but I do want to again comment what Mr. Grant said is that the school district boundary doesn't change. All the issues within the school district related to the schools, that representation stays the same. Those decisions are made by your elected school board, as are the decisions of the CSD. Those decisions are made by your elected school district Community Service District Board. Those are elected boards representing the people on the issues within those respective districts. The Board of Supervisors does not have influence over those decisions. Those are elected boards, and that's, some of you are shaking your heads, but we can have that conversation if you like. Their duties and responsibilities are defined in law, and they represent the people within their respective districts. Those boundaries do not change. And I want to emphasize that. The thing that's a little disconcerting to me is we've just shown with option C and option C1, many of you supported option C, which was one of the original options presented, and it went up against PASO Robles, as well as taking District 5 all the way up to Highway 46 East. And when staff went to PASO Robles, they were concerned about that impact. Plus, it further expanded the geographical area of District 5. Now, item C1, which Mr. Pelfrey brought to the board and we considered, and you also saw that option fractures the Chandon School District boundary as well as their advisory committee. So how can you in one breath say we want to remain whole, we don't want any division within our school district or within our advisory committee, yet you can say the option, if it is C1 that you support, fractures Shandon in a way that you don't want to be fractured. I find that a little bit disconcerting and a little bit self-serving on the part of Templeton. And, well, how
please,
does it differ?
Please, we gave you an opportunity to speak.
And so what was presented that I didn't support when Supervisor Meacham suggested option B1 in having District 5 on both sides of the Templeton core, and you saw that little island, if you will, to the west, go into District 5, what I am prepared to support and suggest, and I have an email here, and we didn't hear that today, but an email I have from a representative on TAG, which is the Templeton Area Advisory Group, that they were supportive of B1 over option B, which would split Templeton into three supervisorial districts. They were in favor, the Chamber of Commerce and TAG were in support at the time of B1, which was Supervisor Meacham's suggestion, which would leave Templeton in predominantly D1 with parts both to the west and to the east in District 5. What I'm prepared to support is taking that piece to the west of Templeton and leaving that in District 1, which is that option B2. And that would leave all of the core of Templeton plus the area to the west of Templeton, all in District 1, and a portion of the Templeton area within, but outside the CSD boundary and the urban reserve line, but to the east, going all the way to Creston Road, that portion, some of which is in the Templeton School District, some of which is in the Atascadero Unified School District, that would be in District 5. That I could support, and I think it leaves more of Templeton whole, puts more of the total population in District 1 and a small portion in District 5. And I think that that's a compromise that I'm hoping my colleagues will agree with and that the community of Templeton will agree with. And again, I want to emphasize that the jurisdiction of the Templeton Community Services District and their authority, the jurisdiction and authority of the Templeton Unified School District Board of Trustees does not change with this redistricting of the supervisorial district boundaries. And so I hope we have had feedback from members of the community, and again, the email that I have from TAG, a representative on TAG, and also the Chamber of Commerce at the time supported B1. It's my hope they would support B2. And one other thing that I investigated, and if my information is correct, all of the elected members of TAG, the Templeton Area Advisory Group, if we make the change I'm recommending, that area to the west of Templeton stay in District 1, all of those elected people will be in District 1.
How many
Well, let us look at this. Jeff, if you could, is it possible to put the B2 up on the, just to clarify and,
And I would support this recommendation and make that motion. And again, we'd have to schedule another hearing and have another crack at it.
Okay.
But I could support this, and I think it meets most of the objectives of the community.
Mr. Gibson? And my monitor is out. I'm just going to look at it.
Well, we'll just.
It's new.
We'll
so
talk
it
when we have
down.
Something to say, Mr. Chairman. Mm-hmm. I think that's an easy system.
Okay.
I appreciate it, and I appreciate Supervisor Patterson's explanation that some of the public commenters were asking for us to talk a little bit about our thinking here. We have in previous meetings, but I appreciate both Supervisor Meacham and Mr. Grant, Mr. Patterson going over it. I think in that explanation you see a bit of the challenge that we bump up against, and two of them that I'll just note. Is one of them is that population and population growth in this county have not occurred in a uniform way. The distribution is a little lumpy, and that is what poses a lot of challenges in the secondary issues to make divisions that fulfill the basic division of or the basic goal of getting one person, one vote. I think the other thing, in particular in Templeton, the challenge is that there are some who envision the Templeton as a community to be a huge place. I saw one email that asserted Templeton as covering 100 square miles. That's 64,000 acres. That's about three-quarters of the size of the Hearst Ranch, or nearly twice the size of the city of San Francisco. And we certainly try as best we can to fulfill perfectly all the considerations we have in Templeton, or all the considerations we have in drawing districts. But I think it's just not reasonable in reality now to think that all that 100 square miles could be kept in one place. As I said before from the dais, I think option B is completely defensible. If you look at those areas that folks are concerned about, the part that was proposed for District 2, the line on District 5, those are low-density rural areas a ways away from Templeton. And I appreciate Supervisor Meacham, as I said last time, I appreciate him bringing forward the idea of option B1. I understand very much what that was, the motivations for that, and I do note that B1 got the endorsement of the Templeton CSD, the Advisory Council, the Chamber of Commerce. There were quite a number of people who spoke very much in favor of B1 as a way to go. You know, at the time that we talked about it, my feeling there were two reasons why I didn't support it. One of them was that it did add considerable more area to District 5, which is already the biggest district in the county. It continued to expand District 5 in a whole variety of directions that would make it that much more challenging to serve. And the second issue is that it was somewhat unbalanced. It increased the imbalance between the largest district, which is 1, and the smallest, which is 2. As I look at B2 now, I come to this with the benefit of a couple weeks of reflection. Nothing like a Tuesday off to allow one to think a little bit. And as I look at the question of balance, I guess I'm more relaxed about that now. I think that staff worked very hard to get very close to identically sized districts, and they did a fantastic job, as we've mentioned before, in seeking that balance. But I believe even as B2 pushes the imbalance out a little bit, as I reflect on it, I think that is acceptable. That we can certainly tolerate that difference between the biggest and the smallest districts, and it makes a certain amount of sense. I think as you look at B2 as well, the boundaries do conform to some natural geographic barriers. I hear the issue that the part that was in the hills southwest of Templeton, there is a ridge line. I think the access is perfectly adequate. But if we put it back on the District 2, District 1 boundary where that was, I think that's a natural boundary. And I think that the eastern boundary of District 1, east of the Salinas River, east of the Templeton Community Services district line, again, presents a perfectly natural boundary, and I would submit on a number of other issues is, again, certainly defensible. So be interested to hear from Mr. Meacham on that. I have heard that idea. I guess at one point somewhere in the long line of discussions we've had, we did hear the suggestion that if that southwest side of Templeton simply remained in District 1, that was a simple solution. I would submit that that solution is much the same as B1, had the enthusiastic support of the Advisory Council, the CSD, and the Chamber of Commerce, and I would certainly be supportive of that, and I'll yield the floor for further discussion.
Mr. Meacham?
Thank you. Well, I know that when I spoke to a number of the folks and I went back to their Advisory Council meetings and the CSD meetings, there were three requests. Basically, the first one was, can we keep Templeton whole? Looking at all the numbers, and I met with Mr. Pelfrey, I appreciate the effort you put into this, and tried to come back with that to the board, and obviously we didn't get support from that because it conflicts with some of the numbers, I guess, as it moves further to the south. The second request was, can we keep the URL whole? Well, any of the options will do that. And the other was to limit the supervisorial representation. And so trying to get down from, and no reflection on my colleague to the west, but it does make a lot more logical sense. And the only difference between B1 and B2 is that the B1 option would have moved 5th District further to the west. B2 leaves it in the 1st District, and I'm comfortable with that. With that, I'd make a motion to accept option B2 to bring back for the first reading. Second.
Mr. Patterson, did you want to comment?
I just wanted, for
the clerk, a motion by Supervisor Meacham, a second by Mr. Teixeira, Supervisor Teixeira, and Mr. Patterson.
Yes, thank you. One other comment I wanted to make is that B2 also has the least impact on the other parts of the boundary of the district, including going down into San Luis Obispo, and which is what option C does. Option C creates a lot of changes in a number of the districts, and my feeling is if we went that far, we would really need to open us up again and let other communities of interest, if you will, opine on that change. Going from B to B2, the only change is that little piece of Templeton that's to the west. Instead of going to District 2, we'll go to District 1. That's the only change we have to make, and so it's the least disruptive, the least impactful to all the other people that would be impacted by option C and C1.
Okay. Well, I would agree and say that it strikes me as a fair and thoughtful compromise, and I do think that it serves people well. It's been an interesting – I've always been amused by arguments that say more representation is disenfranchising, but we will we'll let that argument continue to work its way into nullity and go for a Mr. Gibson.
Real call, I appreciate the flexibility and thoughtfulness of colleagues. By my vote count, we may very well end up with a unanimous vote here, and I think this board works best when it does work by consensus.
I agree. Madam Clerk, roll call, please.
Just so I understand, we are
B2, so we're the motion should be to Mr. Grant, did you want to weigh in?
Read on B2.
You're going to bring back an introduction to the ordinance on B2 on September 13th, which would be next week, and then we're going to have it for a public hearing on September 20th.
And if I could I just, you know, we have these certain ordinances need, you know, one hearing, two hearings on this, and Is council certain that we couldn't call this hearing duly noticed, opened, and now bringing forward a specific recommendation as the first hearing on this item?
If we had the full legal description for B2, I guess that would be one thing. I don't know that we have that. And I think we need to have that. That requires going to the 13th.
Right. So we'll go with the...
If I can just ask Doug. What it would take to make that change. I mean, we could bring that back later today in the afternoon, quite possibly. If that's so, and then we introduce it today, then we would hear it next week. As
putting Doug on the spot, he's coming up.
Yeah, let's put him on the spot.
I think we have to republish it, though.
Can I ask a question here? I mean, why do we need to do that? Why do we need to rush that? I mean,
we don't.
I was just curious. Just a question.
Okay.
I think you're off the hook.
We can bring it back next week.
Okay. I prefer to take it to the process.
Yeah, I'm fine with the process outline. So we'll bring it back to be introduced on next week and then to be adopted in the following week. And are you clear on that, Madam Clerk?
Yes.
Okay. Good. All right.
I missed a week.
Okay, so Mr. Meacham?
Yes.
Mr. Teixeira?
Yes.
Mr. Gibson?
Yes.
Mr. Patterson?
Yes.
Mr. Hill?
Yes. And I appreciate the people coming down here and offering their opinions. It has been helpful, and we appreciate it. Okay, we are moving to closed session. I have some requests to speak on closed session, so I'll call these folks up. Julie Tacker, Ben DeFada, Lindy Owen, and I see Mr. Margetson wielding what looks to be a... Can you... thank you. Ms. Tacker. Mr. DeFada. Come on up. I don't have a... Madam Clerk, I don't have a... Oh, there, right now, do have a... Okay. Ms. Tacker?
Again, I am Julie Tacker, and I am here to speak to the Director of Public Works annual review that you have scheduled for your closed session. First perspective that I have on Mr. Ogren is we've only got 6-7 weeks till the rainy season comes, and I think the community of Oceano is going to be most disappointed when they receive floodwaters again in their homes, and literally nothing has been done. No physical improvements to that community in order to prevent flooding of people's homes. And I think that reflects on Mr. Ogren. Another reflection of Mr. Ogren, and I drive it every day or walk it every day, and that is the Santa Isabel Avenue mess in Los Osos. Nearly $1 million, and you've got islands that are actually a traffic distraction, and then some bollards that glow in the dark. And I think, again, another reflection on Mr. Ogren. I'm most familiar with the Los Osos Wastewater Project and Mr. Ogren's influences over it. I think Mr. Gibson is actually doing Mr. Ogren's job when it comes to some of the details for the project, and Mr. Ogren gets paid more than Mr. Gibson. For example, just as recently as last week when I mentioned that the Los Osos Wastewater Project website was out of date, to Mr. Gibson, it promptly was updated. So there's a disconnect between the Public Works Department and just common everyday duties related to that project. I think Mr. Ogren's also disconnected as far as our ag community. I think it's going to be very difficult to get the ag community to take the treated wastewater. I think the recent issues related to Mr. Grant's having to do an investigation on his private life, complaints to the grand jury and the Fair Political Practices Commission, I think it reflects that Mr. Ogren ordered the backdating of a contract in 1999 that has plagued him in a conflict over the wastewater project these entire 10 or more years. It's time for a change, and I think that the economy gives you a pool of new people to choose from.
Thank you, Ms. Tacker.
That may be better qualified.
Mr. DeFada, followed by Lindy Owen.
Good morning again, Chairman Hill, Board Public, Sheriff's gone. Ben DeFada here for the poor village of Los Osos that sits on a sand dune. Way back when the county's Noel King was going to build an expensive, unaffordable gravity collection wastewater project for this little village, Pablo Ogren was there. In the past, I and others cited...
Mr. DeFada, can you tell me what this has to do on closed session? This seems like a recurrence of your speech.
Are we trying to fire Pablo Ogren?
I'm asking you to comment on closed session agenda items, not on your ongoing opinion on the wastewater project. If you could, sir.
Say again.
This is reserved for comments on closed session agenda items, not your
Abel
general
Ogren
opinion.
Is up on trial or something like that?
Evaluation.
Oh, evaluation? Oh, see, she explained it better than you, what you did. Well, anyway, he was there then. Is that okay? Was there then when the low bidders were eliminated? Is that okay with you, sir? I don't know. I'm confused. He was there when he told General Manager Bruce Buell to backdate the contract so as to get the project started. It was then that the cost went from $95 million to $145 million. I'll just cut it short. Hager Ogren was there when she moved in with him, and we are sure that they talked about closed session meetings, which I remind you is a criminal offense. She was the swing voter in many critical decisions, as well as hirings, firings, like voting to hire Ogren's old-time friend Dan Gilmore. I remind you that those that have overstepped their bounds can have the laws suddenly enforced against them, leading to fines and even jail time. It just goes on and on, and you wonder why we don't have a sewer system. Hager Ogren was there when the USDA funding was awarded without them knowing that several thousand of those in the prohibition zone won't be able to pay off the cost of the more expensive gravity collection system. But where is Maria Kelly? Why she is now heading up and replacing Eco Morgan's Rafferty's director's job, who after 2 years of waiting to stand trial for 3 felony counts of criminal charges while holding that position. Dan Gilmore, Ogren, and now Kelly have just about taken over the Los Angeles CSD. The district attorney's office says that it will probably be delayed again. It just goes on and on and on. Get rid of the Chicago politician and his cronies so we can build an affordable system. I'm sorry if I offended you. I do not know what you were talking about. I'm here to fire Pavel Ogren and get you people to fire him.
Ms. Owen, followed by Mr. Margetson.
Good afternoon, Lindy Owen from Los Osos. The item is consider public employee annual performance evaluation for the position of Director of Public Works. And that is Pava Ogren, who has a major hanky-panky going on with Maria Kelly, who is the ex. She had to step down because she wrongly was representing the Los Osos CSD district while she was having an affair with Pava Ogren and basically had a relationship for what looks like 5 years according to some of the divorce papers and the information that is available to the public and should be part of this investigation that it doesn't seem to be happening. I would say Mr. Pava Ogren has not served the county all that well unless really what you wanted to do was overpopulate and create unsustainable communities. He's been quite good at producing a project for the Nacimiento Lake water delivery. Paso had a hard time accepting the cost of that water. I think it was snuck in. People did not know that they also had to treat it, that it's full of mercury. There are bodies. Human people have been dying in it all summer. It's only halfway sold. Nobody wants to say who is paying for the other half of this project because it came out of the county coffers to build the darn thing. And it, Pavo's intention is to give it to Los Osos. That's pretty clear if you start looking at the Maria Kelly, Dan Gilmore, who is Mr. Pava Ogren's good buddy, somehow got to be our CSD director, manager. I don't think Pavo is serving the community very well. He's certainly not done what he was supposed to do in Los Osos, which was to take a simple project and compare it with alternatives. He spent 2 years with a technical advisory committee mixing the entire project up, separating the, you don't go out and buy a car and look at a body and an engine and tires. He did that with our sewer project. That's why the thing went south and we've got such a mess. We haven't been able to see the true comparison of what the green technology would be. Los Osos could be in a wonderful position. Pava Ogren is someone you could be proud of, but you can't be proud of him when you start looking into this issue of our sewer. Where is your sewage treatment facility? Where is your septage treatment facility? It doesn't exist. You're years behind in resolving some of these problems. Los Osos could be it, but Pava Ogren doesn't have a creative bone in his body unless it's about paying alternative large, as far as I can tell, corporate people and giving his friends the same studies over and over and over again. I don't think he deserves any kind of increase in salary for sure, and I think he should be stepping down just for ethics reasons. Thank you.
Mr. Margetson.
Richard Margetson. I guess my question, I have a couple of things I want to talk about, but I guess my question on this issue is it says, consider public employee annual performance evaluation for position of director of public works. Is this evaluation already been done and you're going to be reviewing it? And if that's the case, does this include any conclusions on the investigation that Mr. Gibson asked to be performed or for county administrator to look into this relationship between Mr. Ogren and Ms. Kelly and any conflicts of interest or ramifications on the project, community service district, or other issues? If this is a performance evaluation, then some of the things that were brought up are relevant. I always had a problem when the TAC, the Technical Advisory Committee, was initiated that, as an example, Ms. Kelly and her husband both applied to be members of the Technical Advisory Committee. Ms. Kelly was appointed. Her husband was 10 times more qualified to be on that than she was. That started to raise some of the red flags of what the county was doing, what they were trying to initiate, what direction they were trying to steer this project. And those recommendations came in part from Mr. Ogren. There were people that should have been on that technical advisory committee that were kept off on purpose because they may have had a differing opinion of what the majority ended up directing this project. San Isabel, another perfect example. I mean, that, and I don't care what Mr. Gibson says, most of that community is laughing about that project. It's an eyesore. It's not complete. It constantly needs maintenance. It's a $1 million half mile that could have been put someplace else. My other concern is recently, and I've talked about this a number of times here at the microphone, about this franchise agreement and the effects it's going to have on the community service district and your options of addressing how we can keep the trash rates in Los Osos stabilized. At the last CSD meeting, the community public input convinced the CSD directors to take another look at this issue. There's a special finance meeting going to be held this Thursday. There's a special board of directors meeting going to be held next Thursday, the 15th, I think it is, to look into this issue. You have an opportunity, and it's probably going to come up in closed session at some point, to have input on keeping something in Los Osos the status quo.
Thank you, Mr. Margetson.
Can I make a comment? Mm-hmm. Mr. Chairman, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just wanted to extend, Ms. Owen, if you would email me your questions relative to the Nascimento Water Project, because I think you're a little misinformed here in regard to the county coffers paying for that project. That was paid for by the purveyors of that project, and I've heard you raise that point a number of times. I'd be more than happy to answer questions about that project if you so choose. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. Mr. Jensen, time estimate, please, on closed session.
Approximately an hour, possibly longer.
Oh, no, not longer. We'll be back at 1:30. Thank you. Good afternoon and welcome back to the San Luis Obispo County Board of Supervisors. Let's do a check with our county council on closed session.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Warren Jensen, the county council. The board did meet in closed session. No reportable action was taken.
Thank you, Mr. Jensen. Let's introduce our afternoon item, if you could, Madam Clerk. Thank you.
Item B2 is a submittal of the Economic Priorities Report on 1, initiative supporting the county economic recovery efforts, and 2, a work program and authorization request for completion of an update to the economic element of the county's general plan. All districts, receive and file the report and approve the work program and authorization as your recommended action.
Okay. I see Ms. Griffin. I see Mr. Buckshy. I'll let whichever one go first.
Okay, good morning. Dan Buckshy from the County Administrative Office. I thought I would just provide a brief introduction, a bit of background and context for the report that you'll hear today, and then I'll hand it over to Ms. Griffin from there. So as we're all aware, we're still in the midst of a rather severe economic downturn, both at the national, state, and local levels. We've not been exempt. Maybe not have been hit quite as hard as other areas of the country, but it's still certainly been difficult. You know, here locally, your board adopted the 7-year plan, which has become known as the PAIN plan, and the current fiscal year, 11-12, is year 4 of that plan, so we're only about halfway through, unfortunately. It feels a lot longer than that to most of us, I think, but it's only about halfway through. You know, your board has taken many actions over this time frame through the adoption of the plan, the budget goals and policies, various balancing strategies, and as a result, numerous plans and actions have taken place, many of which are represented in the report here today that you'll hear about in a few minutes. A lot of these are the result of initiatives that have been driven by your board. And in addition to all of the county plans related to the budget, your board has also been a driving force, if you will, behind the economic strategy, which is being led by the EVC. I know Supervisors Hill and Meacham really helped to spearhead this. The full board endorsed the plan recently and has been very supportive. And since that time, county staff has been actively involved. Planning and Building Department, Administrative Office have been working real closely with the EVC, which I think has developed into a very productive partnership, and we're continuing to make progress with respect to the strategy. So the purpose of today's report is to update on what has been done. You know, obviously we can't control the global economy, and we can't control the local economy for that matter, but we can try to influence it where possible, and a lot of the things you'll hear about today are activities that have occurred in order to try to maybe reduce some of the pain points where possible to make it a little easier for folks doing business in the county, especially given the overall downturn. So in conjunction with that, planning has been listening to the community and listening to many of their customers over the past year and a half. Not to imply they didn't listen previously, but the message has changed a bit because of the change out in the community and in the economy. And this plan is a result of what they've heard, which does align rather closely with a lot of the economic strategy. So a lot of that's being coupled together and moving forward. So what you'll hear today are those continued efforts. We're by no means done. It's a progress report of what's occurred really over the past year to year and a half, and there's still a lot of work to be done. And with that, I'll hand it over to Ms. Griffin. And just before I do, if I leave here early, it's not because I'm bored. I'm not trying to be rude. I broke my wrist recently and need to go visit the doctor before too long. So it's the only time I could get in. So I may step out before this is over. So that's it.
Okay. Ms. Griffin.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the board. Cammie Griffin, I'm the Assistant Director for your Planning and Building Department. And your director really wanted to be here today. Unfortunately, he's caught the kids just got back into school bringing home germs cold. So unfortunately, he's home in bed today. So Dana Lilly and I are going to do our best to make this presentation today. So if you can see if I can make this work.
I thought it said adjourn.
So you've got two items in front of you. One is to receive and file the economic priorities report, and the other is to approve a work program and authorize processing of an update to the economic element. And really, this came from a lot of the same things that Mr. Buckshy just presented to you. In addition, when we come before your board on our for our priority reports, you set four primary goals for us. And two of those primary goals, one is to forward the goals of the Global Warming Solutions Act and the Sustainable Community Strategy. Another goal is to forward the goals and implementation of a countywide economic strategy. And we feel that those last two priorities work well together, and many of the items you'll hear about today show that you can do both those. They're not they work together. They don't work separately, or they don't work against one another, right? They're not mutually exclusive. Thank you. So with that, I'm going to jump right in. As you heard, we have been suffering an economic downturn. It has been affecting the residents and the business owners of the county. And so, consistent with your direction, the Planning Department has been moving forward with a number of economic initiatives. And this is a kind of an overall list of those initiatives. I'm going to very, very briefly talk about each one of these, very briefly, I promise. So starting out with grant programs, the county did receive ARRA grant funding, the federal money, and we've used it for a number of different things, but one of the items that we wanted to highlight for you today is that we did do some subsidized training in conjunction with Cuesta College to train contractors to do audits and retrofits so that they could qualify for state and federal programs that offer money to do that. Without the specialized training, they would otherwise not be able to do the audits and retrofits. So also we established a tool lending library in conjunction with Cuesta, and that's because those audits oftentimes have very specialized equipment. And this saves a contractor from having to go out and purchase that specialized equipment. They can actually take it from the lending library. In addition, our community block grants and home grants, as they've been used for in the past, have been used for construction projects, business assistance, and affordable housing projects. I also wanted to mention one other grant that we just got word that we received, and that is a grant that's going to be used to revitalize the Oceano downtown and surrounding neighborhoods. It's a grant actually to put together a plan, and then the plan allows us to be able to go out and get further grants, and the grant's from Caltrans. So we were one of the few jurisdictions that got one of those grants without any kind of specialized requirements. We've kind of got a free hand with the grant, which is great. We've also been doing a number of fee programs. Your board just passed recently a deferral of the public facility fees. In conjunction with that, it was also a deferral of the road fees. We've also brought forward numerous fee waivers for various either public benefit projects, or the last one you saw was energy efficiency. And in addition, your board has chosen to phase in or postpone the phase in of the inclusionary housing ordinance, and that does reduce costs to developers, to housing developers. We've also recently, on September, about a year ago, September 7th, 2010, your board adopted an infrastructure planning and funding policy, and that led to the development and adoption of community facility districts' goals and policies, and that will allow for the establishment of a Mello Roos district in the county if anyone is ever interested in establishing one of those. We've also done some just general programs, what we're calling general economic programs. Starting September 13th on certain board items, your board will start to see what we're calling business impact statements. These are qualitative statements about how we feel the item that's before your board will affect the business clusters as identified in the EVC strategic plan. Also, we're still working with the EVC on the possibility of a quantified approach. We're trying to figure out how best to do that where it doesn't add time or cost to applications. So we're still working with them. We're very close to a solution. We've also are trying a pilot project that we're calling the Business Assistance Team for projects where that are proposed that require land use approval, where you're within an urban reserve line, you have the proper zoning, and you're a business that's proposing to add quality jobs, we will do basically a priority processing for those kinds of projects using a team of both a project manager from the Planning and Building Department, but also with buy-in from the other departments for quick turnaround, and in addition, buy-in from the applicant for quick turnaround, which is something we've never actually done before. We've also got a fabulous web page, slowplanning.org. We have a special web page that lays out all of the different energy rebates and incentives for the public that are available. We've also been working in the area of continuous process improvement. We did have the two process improvement committees. We reported out to your board in June on the recommendations from those two committees. They should be completely implemented before the end of the calendar year. We're also establishing different user groups, one for building and one for planning, and we'll meet quarterly with those groups. We'll probably have a fluid membership and just talk about ongoing process improvements. We're really looking at our e-permitting and trying to offer more permits online. And toward that end, as part of a countywide effort, we now accept credit cards both at the counter and online. You can swipe your credit card at the counter or put in your number online and be able to use credit cards to pay for various services, including permits. Oh. Going back to the business assistance team, I did want to mention to the board, I'm sure you've heard there's a large company level that's interested in constructing a building across the street from the airport and will offer a number of jobs. They did just apply on Friday, so we've got their application in, and they're our first pilot on the business assistance team. So we'll see how it goes. And then we've also had a number of regionally significant projects. The two big ones have been the two large solar farms, and we did condition those projects to encourage local hiring. We required local job fairs, and then we did look into tax revenue assurances since solar projects are exempt from a number of the taxes. And I also wanted to let the board know that two permits for SunPower, and that was the first one through the process, were issued this morning. So they've got their first two permits, and we're going to start to see work being done out in the Crescent Plains on those. We've also got a couple of upcoming initiatives. We've got Energy Upgrade California that we're hoping to provide loans and grants to homeowners for energy efficiency. We're also continuing that contractor training, hopefully subsidized at Cuesta College for audits and retrofits. So we've got a number of items we've been working on. We realize your board has seen a lot of these, but you hadn't all seen them all together. So we wanted to bring them to you in a package to show you the kinds of things that the department is doing moving toward an economic strategy. With that, I'm going to turn it over to Dana, and he's going to talk to you about the economic element update. And really, this is just to clarify the work program and to get an authorization to process from your Board of Supervisors. And with that, I'll turn it over to Dana.
Thank you, Cammie. Dana Lilly with your planning staff. To bring up a little bit of not too long ago history, you may recall that at one point our department was proposing to unadopt the economic element from the general plan. But we heard from the business community that they were very concerned about the symbolism and perhaps policy basis for decisions if there were no economic element of the general plan. So our department changed its position and is recommending to you today that, in fact, we keep an economic element, that you authorize us to update the existing one, which is getting somewhat dated, with the goal of preparing a document that consists of primarily high-level goals and policies, and not the approximately 96 specific programs that are in the existing element. We have a work program scheduled that would be starting basically now. We've actually been doing work on it and would hopefully conclude with adoption by your board in June of next year. It's a bit ambitious. We believe that it is possible, given the goal of doing a goals and policy type document, all in-house, no consultants, We believe that environmental review will likely end up with a negative declaration, and we would like to invite the EVC to identify a number of individuals who would be willing to serve on a temporary ad hoc committee, along with some others who we would invite from the department. And with that, we conclude my presentation. Just that's part of the recommendations today, is that you approve this overall work program and authorize us to start processing the update to the economic element.
Great. Thank you, Dana. So moved. Questions from my colleagues? And I wanted to follow up on something that Ms. Griffin said. I know I've spoken to Supervisor Meacham, but I'm not sure what my other colleagues I was able to speak with. But on the very good news that Level Studios, parent company, and their real estate company has submitted the application forms to get moving on building a new building in the county across from the airport. I was working real closely with the developer and folks basically pitching why they need to stay here and keep their company here, and they're going to be adding jobs as well. And I think this is going to be an excellent opportunity. And a lot of this has come out of the work that has come out of the economic development project, because we see how important it is to do, first things first. And I think that Frank and I have always been very clear that we need to do everything we can, maybe in a way that hasn't been done before, to assist our before we even think about new companies, startups, et cetera, we got to help our key employers stay here. And one of the ways that we can help them stay here is to be as aggressive and helpful as we possibly can in the process like this. A company like Level, which is really a world-class digital marketing company, can be anywhere. They don't need to necessarily be here. So we are really happy that we'll be able to keep them here and to work with them. And I know that I've had several conversations with Mr. Manchek about this too, but I think this will give your department a good opportunity to show that we can be responsive to the business community's needs, maybe in a way that they haven't seen before. So that's good news. So if there aren't any current questions, let me go to our public. And we'll start with Michael Manchek and follow that up with Don Maruska, please. Good afternoon, Mike.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman, members of the board. Just here to congratulate the county for doing a tremendous job, working very closely with county staff, Jason Giffen, Dan Buckshy, Cammy Griffin, and Dana Lilly. The consultants that we've hired to do these project to help us on this project have done these all over the nation, and so we're always talking to them about what's going on and how to get their help, and they're really amazed and actually very pleased to hear that the county is working so well with us in doing this. And they're not seeing that in a lot of places around the state and the nation. So I think the county is actually creating a model for itself for others to look at and say, this is how we should do things. So with that, I also think that the relationship is incredibly productive. And I think I will come back to you with specifics on a presentation as to the exact wins that we are having through this project. There's not enough time here. I wanted to just say a few things, and some colleagues as well. But the national and local economy is in a very stagnating mode, and we all know that, which is why I think that the county is doing the right thing by being more aggressive about looking at the resources and the policies by which we can, as Chairman Hill says, keep our companies here thriving. Once we start losing those companies for whatever reason, we create a downward spiral in the local economy. We just don't want that to happen, so I'm very pleased for that. But we will also be taking this to the EVC Board of Directors on the 28th of September. Staff will come to the board and present this. It does go back also to not just the strategy itself, but it goes back to the issue of needing better information. Often your board, often other organizations, including myself, are lacking the feedback and the data from the business community. This will be very concrete to getting better information from the business community. And I cannot say enough about how well the Planning and Building Department has been doing this, and Dan Buckshy as well. It's been tremendous. So I want to just end by thanking you all for your support on this project. And I think that you will find that your investment in this project is paying off, and it will continue to do so. Thank you.
Thank you, Mike. Don Maruska, followed by Dave Yonke.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman and members of the board. I also want to thank you for the leadership that you as an entire board have given to this effort. It really makes a tremendous amount of difference. We're seeing that in the collaboration that we're having with the county staff because they know clearly where you want to go. And I think the success with Level Studios is phenomenal. I think we really need to hold that out. That was what we were talking about back in January. Hey, if we want to be successful in this, we really have to engage and let these parties know that we want to have the right kind of businesses, the environmentally attractive kinds of businesses stay here and grow here, and that's really critically important. I do want to highlight the business assistance team. I think that was a great initiative that the county took, and in response to the suggestion that, hey, you know, what could be ways that you could pull together and really respond to these attractive opportunities as they arise. And so there are many good things that are happening. I think I'm also sobered by the realization that there are some very significant challenges that our county faces. This county has been historically dependent upon government and Diablo Canyon, quite honestly, for its economic strength. That has helped it in boom times. We haven't boomed as much as Silicon Valley, and in bust times we haven't gone bust as much. But the reality is, especially in the government sector, we have a new normal. I work with cities and counties all over the state, and they're all telling me that there's a new normal. This is not going to come back where they're going to have the jobs that we thought. You saw the unemployment here creep over 10.5% in this county, largely because 5,100 government jobs were lost. So we have to retool, and retooling is not easy. It takes focused attention. And so what that means is that we've really got to be looking at, what are the opportunities? And what's quite interesting was there's another article in the Tribune about some cities wonder what jobs crisis, because they're finding the jobs and they're going after them just like you did to keep Level Studios here. But we're going to have to do that, not business as usual, a changed model for how we approach this. And so there's a couple of things that I think are really critically important, really sort of three key elements. One, be alert to opportunities. So when we hear about Level Studios getting some additional funding, getting acquired, maybe going someplace, we have to go and respond to that. We have several other companies that are very attractive, very desirable from all sectors of the community here that are in the same situation that could be leaving us unless we're really successful in attracting them to stay and grow here. So we're going to have to be alert. The second is that we're going to have to be engaged, and that's really, I think, the business assistance team is a good start. The business impact statements, I think, is another start. We have to be even more engaged than that, however. And that's really why, as I've talked with you individually, we really are looking at how can we have these business economic benefits checklists, the economic impact checklists for policy, so that we can really be better attuned to what are the impacts, what are the opportunities, and to get these companies knitted and working together more effectively. So that's going to be the key to what's up next, and I think the collaboration is the word that we've got to focus on, and that's the key opportunity that we face in going forward. Appreciate your leadership.
Thank you, Don. Dave Yonke, followed by Tim Williams.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the board. I'm Dave Yonke, and I'm actually here today as a representative from the San Luis Obispo Chamber of Commerce. I'm on the Chamber's Economic Development Committee, and so I am wearing that hat here today. The new CEO, Ermina Kareem, really wanted to be here, but she's in the Midwest tending to her mother who just had surgery, so she asked me if I would come and speak. And on behalf of the Chamber, and when I speak for the Chambers, also based on my conversations that I've had with Chambers throughout the county and their representatives, I think that the comments that I'm going to make are shared universally throughout the county, and so I would like to, if I could, speak on behalf of the Chambers throughout the area. Basically, there are a couple of points I want to make. One is that the Chambers, we had a presentation at the Economic Development Committee about the economic strategy and what's happening right now. The committee and the chamber strongly supports what's going on between the county and the EVC and encourages you to continue in your forward momentum that you've gotten to this point in time. Secondly, the chamber's very encouraged by the county's efforts to incorporate the economic benefits of projects
into your analysis about those projects. And in that regard, I really want to, other people have said it, but I want to say it again. Thank you to the staff. The staff has been wonderful. Jason and Cammie and Dana have all been just terrific to work with throughout this process, and we really appreciate it. The Chamber strongly supports the staff recommendations, number one, to update the economic element, two, to include the business impact statements in your analysis of projects, three, to create the business assistance teams, which sounds like are already well underway, and I'm glad to hear that. That's really nice to hear that there's already a pilot project going. And finally, on behalf of the Chamber, they are very interested in participating in this process on a going forward basis and basically using their resources and their abilities to reach the business community to publicize this to the business community in general, both in San Luis Obispo, throughout the county, and to help move this process forward. So thank you very much for your leadership, and please keep going.
Dave, if you just hold on, Supervisor Patterson has a question for you.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Yonke, I'm curious. I know that leaders of the chamber periodically get together and talk about what each individual chamber is doing, and you felt comfortable speaking for, you know, the chambers throughout San Luis Obispo County on this issue. And I'm curious if you've had the ability to really share this information with the other chambers, or if that's something, I know the EVC is working towards that end, but do chamber executive directors or board presidents, do they have the opportunity to share this kind of information on a regular basis?
Thank you for asking that question. Actually, the there is an organization, the San Luis Obispo Chamber Executive, Slow Checks. The representative of Slow Checks, who right now is Peter Candela from Morro Bay, is on the EVC board. He has been involved in this process throughout, and he takes these updates back to Slow Checks on a regular basis, and it's my understanding from the comments that have come back that it's pretty universally supported throughout the chamber community throughout San Luis Obispo County.
Very good. Thank you. Mm-hmm.
Thank you very much.
All right. Tim Williams, followed by Ty Cifrino.
Mr. Chairman and supervisors, I'm here today, Tim Williams, on behalf of Digital West. I suppose my construction cap is on. I'm really one of the people on the streets working towards bringing more services to the community and representing the other companies in the area that are trying to grow as well. We've seen, and I'm specifically in the knowledge and innovation cluster within the strategic plan, the strategic strategy, and we've seen head of household jobs is a key for all of the clusters we're trying to provide. And I can tell you that right now, technology is doing great. We're actually seeing lots of job openings, and as you mentioned, one of them today, there are many of them, and Digital West works with a lot of these companies, so we're hearing a lot of job openings. We're not seeing them get filled very quickly, but it's still a really good start. It's a way to get going. So one aspect I love about this strategy is there's a marketing element to this that will show the depth of our technology businesses in our area, and if we continue to market that to the other areas, they see that the technology base is here, and it's much larger than people might have thought. That's a real key element. The second thing, and I love that staff put that up there, is one of the job fairs. One of the things that our cluster is pushing forward that will help all the clusters is a job fair just for the local businesses. So before Cal Poly has their job fair, they're going to have one just for local companies that come in so the students realize before they leave the area, they feel they must leave the area. There are no jobs here. We want to show them there are here. So that's a key part of that too. Last time I was here, talking with, not last time, but a while back with Guy Savage, and we presented on the broadband infrastructure that we'd like to see assisted in getting deployed throughout our county. I can't say there's been a lot of effort in that yet. Like, we've both been very busy, but we're working on that still. But I can tell you that on a local level, we've been working with the cities of San Luis Obispo and also Grover Beach to put some public-private partnerships in place. And I think sometimes it's just getting that first one or two through, and you can say, okay, this does work. And I know Guy's been working hard on his side to see how the county can help businesses like myself, all the other carriers that are in the area, to deploy. Because really, when you look at a company like Level, they're looking for those types of infrastructure. And if this company happened to be in Paso Robles, they might have had a more difficult time. So those are the areas we'd like to reach out throughout the county, and I appreciate your support and assistance with this. Thank you.
Thanks, Tim. Ty, followed by Eric Greening.
Hello, Ty Cifrino. Spoken to you guys a few times. So after Mike talked and Tim just talked, I pretty much tossed everything I was going to talk about, and so we're winging it at this point in a serious way. it talked about jobs and opportunity. That was going to be kind of the flair of basically what I was talking about. There is, in our cluster and the technology innovation is the same thing, in a unique place where there's a lot of opportunity. In fact, we're, as Trust Automation, feeling overwhelmed, and I know various other folks in our cluster are feeling that way too. And it does come down to people, and it comes down to how do you pull the right people here. And more importantly, in thinking about it, it's we don't want to, not to get down on Detroit. We don't want to go with just it's a factory full of lots of people and they're doing what they do. There's lots of places to do that. Central Coast, we love this area because of what it is. We take the risk of being here because we love what it is. And how do you support those head of household jobs, those key jobs that are in technology, and make this a hub and a center where people want to come here to do that? And the big obstacle that I see in front of it is the same thing that you've heard over and over again, but how do you get that critical mass where companies go, A, I want to stay here. B, if I get bought, the parent company goes, we should stay here, we should keep the company here because there's some unique aspects of this community. And lastly, how do you gain that inertia that people go, I should move there because there's lots of opportunities there. Right now, that's the obstacle. It's hard to get people to come in either because of a trailing spouse or some other issue. So you have a lot of these key candidates, and we've been looking at them, over the last 6 months, and they're just hesitant. The world is scary enough as it is right now. They don't want to do it. Or they're unclear about if they've come, what position they're going to put themselves in. So it's very important what you guys are doing in supporting the economic strategy. It's very important to take that risk. You guys are kind of trendsetters right now. Almost always a bad thing. It's better to be the guy behind the guy taking all the arrows. But this is one of those scenarios where you need to be the guy taking the arrows. And because if you do that, it will take San Luis Obispo County, put it into this unique place where you're ahead of the wave. People are thinking about it. You're leveraging Cal Poly. Cal Poly stands out. There's a lot of places that have a key university in California, but they don't have a place like San Luis Obispo wrapped around it. There's a lot of stuff that comes out of Stanford, a lot of stuff that comes out of Berkeley, but they're kind of in the Bay Area. And I grew up there. It's a great place to visit, but not a great place to hang out for a long time. So if we can leverage the benefits of Poly, the reputation of Poly, if you can leverage the high-quality jobs in this area and you can take those risks, which is hard, it's a willpower and it's a putting yourself out more exposed than you want to be. If you can do that, we can really, over a long-term plan, which I measure in 5 to 10 years, we can really create a structure and a support system inside of San Luis Obispo County that you can bring in the people that you really want to have here. So thank you for the time to talk.
Thank you, Todd. Mr. Greening, Eric.
Thank you. I'm Eric Greening, and I'd like to thank staff for their work on this. I think it is a good idea to take a fresh look at goals and policies here. A couple of questions. Coordination with and the role of the cities. It's obvious that the chambers have mechanisms for coordinating with each other, but general plans, by their nature, are independent with each land use authority. But the economics flow throughout, and I know we had a discussion with the resource management system about maybe finding ways to coordinate with the other jurisdictions, and I'm just wondering what's the status of discussions on this relative to the cities. Another issue is the question of whether there's going to be any change in consistency with other elements. Obviously, to some extent, we can enhance the goals of other elements. For example, if we can have incentives for passive solar architecture, I'll push the book again, another local product, then we can be helping to meet policies in the energy and conservation elements. But there may be areas where there would be conflict. For example, the clusters have recommended looser permitting of visitor-serving uses in the agricultural areas relative to wine and other industries. To the extent that this could conflict with Ag Policy 6, are we actually going to conflict with Ag Policy 6? Are we going to revisit Ag Policy 6? If so, then that needs its own process relative to the ag element and its own environmental review, and we should realize that's something that we're biting off. We can't just pretend the conflicts won't exist. And then finally, I want to advocate again for the importance of inclusion of the arts community. I know when I raised it before, Mr. Manchak's response was, well, as we develop prosperity, we'll use it to help spill over and benefit the arts community. But I think that's only one end of the telescope. The arts community itself can be a huge economic driver. It would be interesting to know, for example, the economic impact of the Plein Air Festival that's coming up, the people that come from all over, both as artists and as visitors, to eat and stay and participate in that festival, just as an example. And I would like to strongly urge that Arts Obispo be represented on the steering committee. Although I would be hesitant to volunteer a person who isn't here for anything, I would observe that Arts Obispo has a new executive director with considerable experience throughout our county's economy and is able to look at the arts in a broader context as she advocates for them. And so I just think this is a perfect time for Arts Obispo and the arts community in general to be part of the process of which the arts will be not just a beneficiary but a generator. Thank you.
Thank you, Eric. And that's the last request I have to speak, so I'll bring it back to the board. Supervisor Patterson, followed by Supervisor Meacham.
Great. Thank you, Chairman Hill. Just a couple of quick comments and questions. I asked the same question of Mr. Manchak that Eric Greening just posed, and that's what coordination occurs between this effort and the incorporated cities of San Luis Obispo County, and I think Mr. Manchak can address that, and now I guess is as good a time as any.
I would be happy to. That is a very important question. That's an issue that was raised when we first started this project, actually, which is how do we engage and collaborate with the cities? It was suspected that that would be a challenge, and let me explain why, and it still is a challenge. A challenge because of the economy. I have made presentations about this strategy to most of the cities. In the next 2 weeks, I do two more. Tonight, I do one in Paso Robles, actually. And the cities are very supportive, but the cities lack staff and infrastructure and resources to fully engage to the extent that we would love to see happen eventually. However, of the seven cities, there's three individuals of the seven cities that have the word economic of some kind in their title. So some of the cities have a strategy, some don't, and those strategies vary amongst the cities. I know that Atascadero has one, Paso Robles has one, and Grover Beach, I believe, has one. And the city of San Luis Obispo is now restarting one, which is very encouraging. So I think that eventually we'll get there to work with the cities in the way we want to see happen, but it's going to take a little time. The cities, as you know, are very concerned about their own sustainability, and so they don't have a lot of time and resources just to say to focus on, you know, something new and different. But we'll get there. I'm convinced of it.
Well, and don't all, most if not all of the cities also have representation on the EDC?
They do.
So there's that.
Absolutely.
Exchange of information there.
Absolutely, yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And if I could also respond to Mr. Greening's comment that actually we're actually looking at a grant right now that is incorporating the strategy with the arts community. So, in fact, we'll have a meeting with Mr. Green and actually explain what is happening there, which I think is not to be understated. It is a very important part of the community. It's a very much an important part of why people come here and live here. But, again, as I said before, we've had to limit our focus on only the five, six clusters that provided the most amount of jobs. Once we've done that, then we will trickle down to the other clusters that perhaps don't have the same track record of job creation, if that makes sense.
Very good. Yes. Thank you. And if I may continue then with my comments, I want to take this opportunity to again thank the members of the business community who are engaged in this effort. I think we're making great progress. And obviously, as you have commented, our staff is fully engaged in the effort as well. I had the opportunity to speak with Ms. Rogers and Mr. Maruska recently, and also with Dana Lilly and Jason Giffen separately, and talked about doing the checklist and the survey with businesses as to the economic benefit of whatever the project is. And I think absolutely that is important. One of the things that I stress, and you've all alluded to that in one way or another, and that is the quality of life that we enjoy in San Luis Obispo County and why people want to come here. And it is important that we continue to also focus on the quality of life, which includes, obviously, one's ability to employ themselves and support their families, but also the incredible environment that is San Luis Obispo County and our need to keep that in focus as well and protect that environment. And I do think that we can do both, absolutely. And then you bring in the social aspect of that in our schools and the arts community and entertainment, all the rest of the things, services that lead to a better quality of life. They're all interlinked. They're part of our mission statement here in San Luis Obispo County, and we do want to address those. And one thing that is also being addressed but not mentioned today, and that is the lack of affordable housing here, workforce housing. And I know Mr. Lilly is reaching out, I think, through this project to the business community to assess what their needs are and get feedback from the business community on what housing does or does not exist and how that impacts their ability to bring people to San Luis Obispo County. Mr. Lilly is the chair of the Workforce Housing Coalition, has a long background of the issues surrounding housing, and I think it's essential that the business community also factor in that element or that component in quality of life and ability to engage people to come here, but also to keep people here. So I'm encouraged by the progress that we're making, and again, thank you all for being here this afternoon.
Supervisor Meacham.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and I'm really thrilled to see the ongoing progress with this effort. Kind of going off on Ty's comment about, you know, the reason we did this at the very beginning, it wasn't this knee-jerk reaction to the economy. It's positioning ourselves that when this economy does turn, we're going to be even better off than we are right now. And I think all your efforts right now are lending to that. And I think that paying attention to retention as opposed to recruitment at this point in time, that does send a message out there that if you're here, we're going to do everything we can to help you and keep you here. That may want to encourage those from outside to come in. Looking at some of the short-term successes, if you will, and not just with Cal Poly, but, for example, right now we have a student from Cuesta that is one of five that is participating in the World Skills Competition. That's an amazing piece of publicity for this area. In October, I'll be hosting the State Board of Skills USA in Paso Robles for our board meeting. And we're going to try to push real hard in the couple of years to come to get the competition, the state competition for Skills USA in the Central Coast. If we can do that, that'll put a lot of exposure on what we do there. And referencing the fiber optic opportunity, I know the last meeting that we had with the NASMENO Commission, we're still seeking the opportunity to be able to utilize that conduiting possibility, and there's been some interesting things that have come up since then, and I think at the end of this month we're supposed to meet again to get some more definitive interpretation of how we might be able to do that. So we're working in that regard. And speaking of the chambers, I spoke an awful lot about this project to the little communities in which I represent in the north. And from that, San Miguel is now wanting to form a Chamber of Commerce. So the director of the Chamber of Commerce from Paso and Atascadero came up to meet with about 20 folks up there to sit down and figure out how can we establish a chamber and where do we go from here. So I think all of these efforts focusing on business are tremendous, and I think that I've always felt that wherever it was best last will be best first again. And so when this economy turns, I think we're going to be right on top of it. So I commend all of you. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Gibson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'll follow up on Supervisor Meacham's observation. I continue to be impressed with the broad spectrum of folks who participate in this, and I think it's really testament to a well-thought-out strategy that we have so many members from so diverse a set of of businesses that are engaged with the county now. I mean, that's as broad as it gets. I would like to follow up on the thought of the chambers. I appreciate Mr. Yonke being here speaking, especially for the San Luis Obispo Chamber. And I've been engaged in one way or another with that organization for as long as I've been in public issues in this county, and they've always done a great job. They have really dedicated folks who form committees that look with great passion and in great detail at a wide range of issues that affect the business community. As I'm listening to the conversation here, I'm thinking that their participation in particular is encouraging, and with the results like you're referencing for San Miguel, because the chambers have the reach to the grassroots. And I think that's part of the key that we need to develop, that grassroots support within the very small businesses. You know, having large businesses building their own multi-story buildings, that's great. But this needs the support of everyone in this county, and I think the wider business community seeing benefit to their own businesses will become important partners. And finally, I appreciate staff's thought of how to proceed with the economic element. I do think that Mr. Greening raises a good point, and it is that once we start setting policies and general plans, we have to be very careful as how they integrate. And I know the EBC, we've had that conversation on the economic strategy. I'm confident we can do it within our economic element. But when we have to make findings of consistency with a general plan and have to have a general plan that is not internally inconsistent, I think we do need a thoughtful approach, and I appreciate staff's interest in moving forward on that matter. I look forward to being involved in that discussion when it becomes appropriate. Okay. With that, I thank you.
Yeah, well, I before we go to a motion, I would also like to thank the folks, staff and folks from the project that have been working very, very hard on this. And I've had great pleasure of working with both people involved in the EVC project, and I was glad that Dave came here to represent Ermina with the chamber. The chamber here is extremely committed to the same goals of growing head of household jobs. I know our colleagues in Slo City and other cities, Paso and other places where they already have some terrific employers, are also similarly committed to this. So there's a lot of good there's a lot of goodwill, and it's really a local thing, and it's our region that's working together well now. And I think it's, you know, Mike and I and others have had these conversations, Frank as well, with similar regions around the state that are doing things sort of on their own too, because, you know, you can spend all your time griping about the state and the feds, or you can just say, well, let's figure out how to help ourselves on the local level as best as we can. And I think that's a measure of the commitment of people on a local level to say, well, you know, we can put aside some of the partisan nonsense and some of the other stuff that's unfortunately paralyzing the legislature at the state and also the Congress and the president at the federal level, and just try to focus on how we can help our community. And I know that from my perspective with the working to help the level situation, I didn't really care where they ended up as long as they ended up in the county. You know, meaning our county, not necessarily county land. Yeah, Slo County, whether it was in Paso or Slo City or Slo County or Grover Beach, it didn't matter to me as long as they kept the jobs here and they're bringing jobs here. And I think it's a good opportunity for all of us to work together to showcase this. So I'm really pleased. These kinds of projects take a while to have the kind of impact that people would like. But I think that everybody is rowing in the same direction, and everybody, you know, in my experience with staff and working with EVC and some of the folks and deeply involved, that every time there's even been any kind of obstacle, it's been worked through and there's been a solution and we've moved forward, and that continues to hearten me. So with that, I'll let Supervisor Meacham make a motion.
I'd be more than happy to make a motion. I think the other key to this too, though, is to realize that whatever community recognizes success, someone else is going to recognize the benefit of that success as well. So I've never been one to become territorial about things. I think from a regional standpoint, San Luis County can position itself, and wherever one city benefits, another is going to benefit as well. Mm-hmm. With that, I'll move that we receive and file a report and approve the work program and authorize for processing an update to the economic element of the county's general plan.
I'll second.
Okay. Moved by Supervisor Meacham, second by Supervisor Patterson. Any further discussion before roll call? Okay, Madam Clerk, roll call, please.
Yes, ma'am.
Mr. Meacham?
Yes.
Mr. Patterson?
Yes.
Mr. Gibson?
Yes.
Mr. Teixeira?
Yes.
Mr. Hill?
Yes. Okay, this is a good note to adjourn on. Thank all of you for making time to be with us today. We will adjourn until next Tuesday.